I just received a text from the chief that his email is down. He's not going to be able to join us. Oh, he can't access the Zoom invite. Maybe I can. I wonder if I can text it to him.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Marv.
Hey, Marv.
Good afternoon.
Oh, Bob.
Judy, what time you want to meet Thursday?
I'm good anytime between 9 and 5. So whatever works for you.
All right, let me check here. Are we doing a Zoom meeting?
We can. That's fine.
Okay, 10 o'clock.
All right, Thursday at 10. You got it.
All right.
Okay. All right, we're still waiting here for Tara. Oops, hold on a minute. Oh dear, hold on. Okay, so. And. Just need Tara.
Judy, your alter ego has joined us. How'd that work?
Oh, Bob. How did you get in?
He's frozen.
That is so funny. I did not let you in.
That's because he signed in under you.
Hey.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to unmute him and I can't. Oh my God. That is so weird. That is so weird. What are you doing? How are you getting on here? I can't unmute you.
Well, maybe he's taking control of the, maybe he's got control of the meeting instead
yeah,
of you.
Yeah. I don't know about this. And you're not really, this is weird.
Well, you got rid of him, he's gone.
All right, I'll take care. So let me text Tara here. Let's see, I'm gonna mute myself, guys. So, oh wait, here she is, okay. All right, here she comes. Hey, Tara.
All right. Corky, you're going to have audio? I mean, visuals?
I have audio, but I have no video for some reason. My camera's not working.
Okay, well, you're here, so that's good. All right. So, shall we begin?
Everybody's going in.
Yep.
Okay. I would like to call the July 14, 2020 Newtown Borough Council meeting to order. Please join me in a moment of silence. pledge allegiance to the flag.
Flag of the United States of America and to the Republic
which stands
one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a few amendments to the agenda. At the end, under zoning, the discussion of the borough code update with E-code is going to be moved to the work session in August, and that work session will cover a good portion of the sections of borough code, particularly under zoning and Saldo, which need updating. The public conduct in meetings policy is tabled to the future. There are some revisions to be made. And the last piece is that one of the applicants for alternate for the Civil Service Commission has withdrawn his application. That is John Burke. He is also a constable and did not know that he could not serve both at the same time. And that's it. So public to be heard.
Real quick, Tara, on that same personnel.
Yep.
So if we have, when the motions are made, I think we have to say motion to approve the first appointment of, and then the second appointment of, and then the third appointment of, just whenever that happens. Because as the alternates, I think we're gonna need to put in order who will take the place of the person that isn't able to make it. Does that make sense?
Oh, you have meaning that they have to have their own actual order of who is the first alternate, who is the second alternate, who is the third alternate.
Yeah, and I did run it by Michael Clark, and he agreed that that probably be a good idea.
Okay, so basically whoever gets voted first is the first alternate and so on.
Yeah, it's up to you if the verbiage has to get changed, but
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for letting me know. We'll when we get there, we'll make sure that we do it that way and everybody understands.
Thanks. Okay.
All right, thanks. All right. Public? Okay. Mr. Mayor?
Yes, I'm just texting Chief to see if he has anything that he would like me to go over other than the recommendation of Chief and the Police Committee to recommend the hiring of Jeffrey McKee as a non-civil service police officer effective as of date of his swearing in, conditional upon successful completion of recertification as a police officer through the Municipal Police Officers Education and Training Commission at effective rate of $19 an hour. Jeffrey McKee is a resident of Bucks County and graduated from Pennsbury High School. Mr. McKee earned a bachelor's degree from Temple University in 2013 and graduated from the Temple Police Academy in 2014. He previously served as a police officer for SEPTA Transit, Morrisville Borough, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia Housing Authority, and most recently was employed as a police officer for the City of Charleston Police Department. So if someone would like to make that motion, I would appreciate it from that standpoint, please.
I move to approve the hiring of James McKee as a non-civil service police officer effective as the date of his swearing in.
It's conditional Jeffrey. Upon,
pardon?
Jeffrey McKee.
I'm sorry. Yes, Jeffrey McKee. Conditional upon successful completion of recertification as a police officer through the Municipal Police Officers Education and Training Commission, effective rate of $19 an hour.
I'll second.
We have a motion, we have a second. Are there any further questions?
I have a question for the mayor and to Michael Clark. I was reviewing the application and one of the questions is, have you ever been convicted of a misdemeanor? Are we permitted to find out if anybody has been investigated or arrested or party to a police investigation, regardless of the disposition?
We are permitted to ask questions regarding convictions, regarding felonies, which would automatically, in almost all circumstances, disqualify you, and misdemeanors, which, depending on the misdemeanor, may disqualify you. We are not permitted to ask questions regarding whether or not you've ever been arrested or investigated. It is about being convicted. And certain misdemeanors may disqualify you if they are involving crimes of falsehood, which would then pretty much make you it'd be impossible for you to ever testify in court because you've been convicted of a crime involving falsehood.
So if a policeman was coming from a municipality where there were problems of transparency in how that police department handled racial matters, for example, we wouldn't be allowed to delve into those issues as to these particular applicants?
Well, as of about 2 o'clock this afternoon, I think we might be able to start delving into those matters. Apparently, and I did not have an opportunity to fully review it yet, the state legislature passed legislation today regarding creating a database for police officers who have been charged with misconduct and things of that nature, not so much just for being able to be viewed by the public, but it's legislation similar to what there is with teachers, that you're not able to just bounce from one department to another when you've had problems. So this legislation is designed to attempt to root out police officers who have had multiple problems in multiple jurisdictions and then just move on to the next one before they get fired. But I don't know enough about the legislation at this point in time to be able to comment on it. But yes, it may end up making a difference, and we'll see how it impacts the civil service rules.
But I do believe, and I'm going to be very forthright when I say this, that all of these things should come forth in the application process rather than in a public meeting as we are doing right now. If you have an issue with the application process and the divulging of information that comes from the individual and or from the police officer training and the certification program of things, that's something that I think needs to be addressed in another issue rather than when we're trying to hire a part-time police officer.
These questions are not aimed at Mr. McKee.
I understand that, Bob. I understand that, but I think these are things that need to be addressed from the police committee standpoint as well as with Chief.
Mm-hmm. And that's something we can learn about more about the new legislation going forward. So in the meanwhile, Chief and I interviewed Mr. McKee. He has a strong sense of community policing, and his perspective is towards, you know, reaching out, getting involved, getting to know people, patrolling, that type of perspective on community policing, which is part of what she values and we value here. So we also felt that was important. And as a part-time officer, he'll be here for, you know, special events if we need him, or covering vacation days or some overnights when our officers are not available. Are there any other questions or comments? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes. All right.
And that's all I have, Council President. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Nothing from Chief, too, by the way. I have nothing from Chief. He did text me that his email is down and he can't Zoom, but he did not have anything, you know, in regards to any reports or anything other than what he gave last month.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, there was a report on the patch today of an apparent burglary at the new toy store. So just as a matter of public record, there was something on patch this afternoon that came through. So.
And that came through, that was discussed at a previous meeting because it happened a long time ago. It happened before the 4th of July.
Thank you.
Let's hope they find him. So moving on. So we have the resolution to adopt the personnel policy for filling vacancies. We've all gone over this in the past. This just has the update from our last meeting. As you saw, Sue put in the verbiage that we had discussed. So it's ready for adoption at this point. Sue or Nicole?
I'd like to make a motion to approve resolution number 7-14-2020. A resolution of New Town Borough Council creating a policy for members. Do I need to read the whole thing?
No.
I'll second. Oh.
So, yeah, you do not. You give the top paragraph, basically. You do not have to go through the whole.
Perfect, thanks.
You don't read the entire resolution, just the top paragraph.
Okay. And so I'll second.
All right, you have a second. Great. Okay, any further input?
I mean, there are a couple of extra periods and extra spaces, but I don't think that affects our vote. I'm sure it'll get cleaned up before it gets published.
Oh, you're a little bit quiet there. I'm going to turn you up there, Mr. Cohen. Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm just saying there are a couple of extra periods, a couple extra spaces, but that shouldn't affect our vote. I'm sure it'll get cleaned up before publishing.
Oh, for the final one. Right, okay. All right, thank you. And any comments from the public?
Yeah, I hate to jump in at the very last minute. I know you probably put a lot of work into it. I just got a very brief thumbnail sketch of it. And my understanding is that all volunteers at the end of their appointed time will start at ground zero again and have to be reappointed, essentially.
I don't know, Sue, do you want to talk about it? I'm jumping in and you're doing this, but that's not exactly the concept because we did talk a lot about that. Sue, do you want to?
Sure. No, the idea, certainly they would not start at ground zero, but the idea is that we let the general public know that there is an opening, because right now we feel like people get asked if they want to continue, and sometimes we believe they say yes because they don't think anyone else will take it, and so they're being good citizens and saying yes. Sometimes there are people who would like to be on a particular committee. There's no opening, and so they volunteer for a different one, but they would like to move if an opportunity becomes available. And so that's really the intent. And obviously, the years of service, and we have so many folks who have spent years and years working really well for the borough, will be considered as we're considering all of the applications. So the intent is absolutely not to kick anybody out. Quite the opposite. We've got some great volunteers who've really dedicated themselves to the borough.
Yeah, I guess that was the only thing I was somewhat worried about, is that I'd hate to see a lot of the continuity, when you're on some of these committees, especially and I'm sure this has all been talked over, but I just wanted to make sure that...
Bob, you expressed some of my concerns, and I had the same thing, and the last thing any of us wanted to do, and Nicole has emphasized that a lot as well, and we all agree, we have a lot of really good volunteers, and people step up and give their time to our town, and each of us are all grateful for everybody who steps up to do that. We never want anybody to feel that, oh, you have to somehow prove yourself again. It's more like we had the very casual way Judy would call and say, hey, you know, it's coming up, you still want to do it. This allows them to write and say, yes, not on a, you know, the same application, but a renewal application. Yes, I would like to continue, you know, and you could write a sentence or two why, like, I've done this and this, and this is really interesting to me, and I do really want to continue doing this. And that, having done that, gives you, you know, everybody will look at that and get and say, yes, this person has that continuity. They've given of their time.
And it's not so much even time, but I think, you know, I like for the Historic Association or the HARB board, you know, there's a lot of things that we've developed that have been developed over the years that, you know, is somewhat, you know, sort of, you know, I you know, it's one of those things where, you know, just because something looks historic doesn't mean it is historic.
Yeah.
You know, and we're not trying to recapitulate, you know, historic things. So when people come in, and I think, you know, it takes a little bit of time for people even on the board to understand. And I just want to make sure that we sort of try to continue to keep that background so that, you know, it's not something where you say, well, it looks historic to me, so it's all right. Or,
oh gosh. Yeah. And actually HARP was one of the examples given of a committee, and all of them, you know, the longevity and experience of what you've done, it really matters. And HARP was one that was brought up as, you know, an example of that, when you have somebody who's there for a period of time, which is why we changed the ordinance earlier to allow people to stay longer because of what they offer to the community. So yeah, absolutely. And you know, a lot of them, like, and when I was on rec board, having people who've been there for years and knew how to run the more complicated events, or like knew what had happened, what was put in when in the playgrounds, that type of thing. For example, you know, it's you know, all of it, it makes a big difference. So it's very important as this is implemented to not make anybody feel like, oh, they don't care what I do. And to really recognize that experience and that, you know, what people bring to the table when they've been around the block three times with it.
Okay. And I think that's good clarification. Thank you.
So
thank you. I have a question around that, Tara. How is that different than the current process? If someone's currently on a board and their term is expiring, we personnel chair would reach out and ask them if they want to continue. So yes. How does this make a difference, and why do we need a resolution for it?
It's a policy, so it's sort of written out, like who calls, who does what, and then they can submit a piece of paper so everybody can see it. So like not exactly like the application, but similar. So, you know, here's my information and my board or committee, and I want to continue. And it lays out and makes it clear, like, what the personnel chair does, what the secretary chair does, so that it's very transparent to anybody coming in.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. Any other comments? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any nays? All right. Julia, you were muted. Do you aye?
Aye.
Yes. I'm sorry, I was too. Aye.
Okay, all right. Any nays? All right, motion passes. All right, thank you, everyone. Okay, next we have the job description for the municipal file clerk at will at $18.50 per hour as per ordinance, and up to 12 hours per month.
Tara, you did happen just to skip over the last item on the first page of the agenda, that you just wanted to mention the Act 537.
Oh, you know what? You're absolutely right. I'm so sorry,
yeah.
Judy.
I'm
looking up at everybody here, and then, yeah. So just, this is an FYI for the public. The Act 537 plan, which is our sewer plan, is having its update done. Very, very little is changing, but it is the update. And so it is available at Borough Hall physically to make an appointment to look at. It is also available online, both under plans and studies, and also on the front page, because it was available to the public for the next 30 days for anybody to come in and review and take a look. And then once that period is completed, we will then be voting on it. Thank you, Judy.
Welcome. And it will also be advertised in the newspaper as of tomorrow per that requirement too.
Okay, right. Yeah, oh, that's, yeah. So the 30 days starts tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And speaking of things that are starting also, because Chief wasn't here to mention it, so I realized this was something that he had done before. Just to reiterate to everybody who's been trying to get the news out, we are now going to start the parking enforcement again. The purpose of that is so that somebody's coming in to spend money in town, then, you know, we want somebody else to have a turn, and not somebody just leave their car in a spot all day, then that restricts who can come in and
visit our shops and businesses in town. So now that business is picking up, travel is picking up, people are coming out again, we're finding that there's more and more traffic in town, and it's time to start that again, which we had temporarily lifted during the stay-home order. Okay, so on to the municipal job clerk, municipal file clerk job description. So, you know, this has gone around a bit. Everybody's seen there have been some, you know, provisions. And I sent it over to Leslie DiNapoli, who is the HR and employment solicitor at Rudolph Clark. And she cleaned it up, put all the HR terms in, put together something in a proper format for us. So if everybody's good with that, then we can go ahead and make that public and look for somebody to fill that position.
Tara?
Yeah.
I would just like a clarification under the category duties, line one, where this person, as described, reports to the treasurer.
Mm-hmm.
I think employees of the borough should report to the borough president, although you can delegate the daily supervision to the treasurer.
This is something I talked about with Leslie, and she, you know, described how, yes, in the end, all employees of the municipality do report to the elected officials. You have some municipalities where you have multiple people, large amounts of employees, and you actually have, like, you know, entire groups of staff, and they do report up, so it goes up in the chain. And in the end, yes, everybody does report back to council, and therefore the president of council, you know, is in the leadership position for that. The idea is more so that the clerk does not get differing input from different places and then end up like not doing the one thing that was asked because there was another thing that was asked, and he or she is like, oh no, you know, now what do I do? And Leslie did describe a situation where, you know, that had happened as an example in her own experience. And it gives clarity to the clerk to know this is the process. Yes, and in the end, everybody does report back to council and to the council president. But in their day-to-day life, how this person acts and what they do, this is how they report. Does that make sense?
Thank you.
Thanks. Anything else?
Just on the hourly rate, it says per ordinance. Do we have a separate ordinance that covers that particular job, or do we have to have an ordinance to cover that job?
It's in the fee schedule under the secretarial work. So that is how she wrote that. So we would then change, you know, every year you could change the fee schedule. Unless, you know, otherwise we'd have to come up with a new hourly rate and then amend the fee schedule ordinance to include that.
And then I think earlier this year we discussed when we send people from the boards, commissions, and the employees out for a particular borough function, we would cover mileage, but that in this job description, it doesn't cover mileage to and from home, correct?
Not correct.
Thank you. I'm done.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. Mike Clark, solicitor. Do we need to pass a motion to have this, or is the general consensus then? What is the procedure? Which I should have clarified this prior, but I did not.
This doesn't require a motion. You've agreed upon a job description. It's not in any way binding the municipality. When you hire somebody, you may want to do that by motion, but this does not require a motion. There seems to be agreement on the job description, so no.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. And then for the benefit of the public, We are looking for somebody to come in about 12 hours a month, so average of 3 hours a week, but it can vary. Flexible schedule to assist with filing and organizing in the borough office. So if you or somebody you know is interested in the position, please do reach out to the borough office. All right, thank you.
Are we posting this on the borough webpage?
Yes, and then I don't know that we necessarily need to advertise it unless we can't find somebody. We can decide. We can start with locally and post in the borough page and try to get the word out, see if we can get somebody from, you know, who is local. If we have trouble finding somebody, another option is also at the Bucks County Community College. But before we go advertising, we may be able to do it without that cost. Everybody's good with that. Okay, so then, Judy, would you be able to post that on the website? Thank you. Okay, and then the last thing under me is the municipal...
I guess the only thing to add, if it's being posted, would be who they should contact. I mean, this is the job description, but I guess there'd be extra information in the posting, which I don't think we have to come up with at this meeting.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking, you know, all the borough number. But yeah, we can make sure we have that up there. So, okay. The consultant service. So I hope everybody's had a chance to look at Dave Waglum's CV. His various projects and the work of the Minor Center at Lafayette College, and also Julia sent in a detailed and thorough list of, you know, issues and recommendations overall, an organizational administrative assessment. Does anybody else have any things that they would like to add to a proposal request?
So is proposal request to evaluate what the borough needs or proposal for filling some sort of position?
This would be what the borough needs. So if we recall back in March and we talked about you know, how it's always come up that we might want a part-time borough manager. And Mike noted that there are consultants out there who can help you figure out what is best and how to distribute things and what will work best. And then, you know, he actually can then help us with recruitment if we want to do so at the end of that, if that's what is recommended. But first we can have an analysis. So what Julia wrote in her suggestion was, an analysis and evaluation of the borough's current administrative organization, including involvement of council, and I'm going to summarize of analysis and evaluation of the distribution of administrative tasks, and then recommended changes to organization. And that would include, should we hire a part-time borough manager or hire any additional clerical staff? You know, what should we do? Some places have their own in-house zoning. We've always had part-time because we're so small, but this is some of the things she listed in here. So after a consultant comes in and like sees how everything works, then he can make a recommendation as to, hey, this part is great, this is great. You might want to think about tweaking this and I recommend you do whatever, whatever. So under his, you know, his list of projects, how which are broken down by what he does, that's an organizational and an administrative assessment. So one part is that the type of thing we would look for? And then the other part is, how does everybody feel about Mr. Waglum?
So my understanding when this, you know, came up a few months ago, or longer than that now, just since COVID's been a couple of months. Yeah. So there was talk about, you know, part-time borough manager or help in the office to actually make sure things got done before we put in another, call it supervisory role. The decision of that time was to go the route of making sure, you know, the office has enough people in it to get things done, which has finally led us to the, you know, job description that's been agreed upon for the clerk. But so now are we, now that that's done, is the idea that we are now circling back around and re-looking again at the idea of what sort of potential supervisory level positions might need to be added?
Yeah, or anything else. When Pat started, before she came, you know, we had one person doing all the secretarial work, all the treasury work, and they were, you know, out of the front office because the police were in the back office. They were working out of council chambers. And, you know, she came on, and over time, the external requirements grew, things shifted, and, you know, a lot has metamorphosized over time. There are a lot of requirements now in many categories that coming in from outside that weren't there before. And so, so part of this would also just be the assessment of, hey, you know, what is your overall structure? What can you use to help make things work efficiently? So we're getting an at-will, you know, average 3 hours a week person to come out and help out with filing, but is it in our interest to have anybody else? And if so, what is that? Or how would you rearrange things? Like, if you looked at who's working across the county and all the other municipalities, we are remarkably understaffed compared to everybody else, basically. And having somebody who's from the outside, who is an expert in this type of thing, who could come in and say, hey, you know, we, you know, talk to Judy about what she does, talk to her, what you do, Judy, like, so, you know, talking to you too, and like what Pat does, and how do we have everything set up? And are there ways to make everybody's job easier, make it flow better? You know, what are the things that members of council are doing, and are there ways that, you know, or do other municipalities just have to, and how do you, how can you make it work so everything is most effective? So that was the idea behind it, which is why I asked everybody to think about it.
When I put together my thoughts that I shared on ShareFile regarding the consultant, I've thought about how the borough is run, and it's been running, but there have been various things that have been handed down through the ages in the time that I've been involved with borough government, starting in the mid-70s, and seeing how things have evolved. Certainly the outside pressures on the borough have increased in terms of reporting and all the requirements that we have. Our population itself has not increased that much, but the things that that borough administration needs to do have certainly increased. Wasn't that long ago that members of council were responsible for plowing the streets, and I kid you not. Jobs get passed from one member of council to another, and you come on to council, you get the job of the outgoing person, which may or may not be something that you have any knowledge or skill about, so that there's sort of a interesting evolution of administration of the borough, and people have taken on jobs just basically assuming that that's what they're supposed to do, and they've always done it. And so I think it's really useful to have someone who's knowledgeable to come in from the outside, who doesn't have any of the biases of working in the borough, who can come in and say, well, that's very good that you've been able to do it so far, but that might not be the most efficient way of doing it, and we could possibly just redistribute things. Maybe you do need a manager, maybe you don't need a manager, but maybe you do need more help in some other fact. But I think that bringing someone in with that knowledge would be very helpful. The Institute at Lafayette College looked very impressive. I'm surprised to see that there actually is a academic institution that has devoted some academic time to looking at and providing this sort of service to municipalities. That was reassuring. things obviously we're going to want to know from David would be obviously what his rate is, how long he thought it might take for him to do what it is we'd like him to do. And certainly we'd want to talk to some of the other municipalities for which he's done similar things to determine whether this is the person that we want. And obviously we don't need to be confined to this one person. So if we know of someone else that could do the job as well, we might want to solicit a second proposal. But I, at this point, I'm fine with sending a proposal to David or actually requesting a proposal from him and seeing if he can meet the needs that we have.
And yeah, we would have to get the proposal to get, you know, the full rates and costs and so on. But I know that they are, you know, he is more affordable because of that subsidizing from the Minor Center rather than somebody who is, you know, just hung a shingle out. So,
yes, I agree with Julia. My only question was how much, of course, like it was going to cost.
If it
does end up being something that just because of the situation, you know, with the budget and the unknowns of the pandemic still, if it's something that's like super expensive, you know, maybe it would have to be budgeted for 2021.
Right.
But maybe not.
No, very good point. Absolutely. And so, and we will definitely know more as all the EIT that was, you know, unless somebody's way past due date, when we get into August and we have that, then we'll you know, have even a better sense of where we are. And so absolutely. So is everybody good with we asking him for a proposal then?
Yeah, I'm good with, you know, being at the stage that we're, you know, looking into the possibility of doing this. You know, I wouldn't have been at the stage of saying, yes, let's do it. But so it's good to hear. Okay. It seemed like pretty fleshed out at this point to, you know, not be asking for that, but glad to hear that that was not the ask. I also think it's reasonable. Hopefully it'll be sooner rather than later that we can, you know, start with the increased capability in the office and see what effect that has and have that be in place so that that can be part of the evaluation. It wouldn't be good to evaluate based on the current status quo because that's not where we're hoping to be as soon as possible.
Right. You're referring to the clerk, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay.
I still think that was the right first thing to do, and now we can, you know, continue to see if anything else beyond that is needed.
Okay. Great. So, Mike, do we need to make a motion to just ask for the proposal, or we save that for when we would vote to accept it, correct?
That's correct. All you need to do, again, there's an agreement among council to get the proposal, and when you accept it, that's when a vote will be required.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right, that's all that I have. On to the COAs and Harb. Sue?
First, I would like to table COA 2020-009. As some of you are aware, there are some issues surrounding that one, so I would prefer to take that one out of this motion. So I would like to make a motion to follow the recommendation of the Historic Architectural Review Board and direct the President of Council to sign the following certificates of appropriateness, thereby approving the historical appropriateness of the applications with final approval by the Code Enforcement Officer. COA 2020-018, Don and Richard Wyatt, 109 North State Street. The applicant is seeking a certificate of appropriateness for renovations to an existing stone wall. And COA 2020-019, John Malloy, 100 East Washington Avenue, St. Luke's Church. The applicant is seeking a certificate of appropriateness for replacement of a slate roof on the parish house with a standing seam metal roof. And Harb's recommendation was to approve the application as presented, noting that the standing seam will be 1 inch, and the cap will be a U-clip on the ridge. Soffit vents will be replaced in kind. And if necessary, soffits, trims, fascia, and eaves will be replaced in kind.
I'll second.
We've had a motion. We've had a second. Any further questions, discussion?
Suze, I have a question of why the HARP approved the replacement of the slate roof with steel.
There was,
or metal.
Yeah, there was a lot of
discussion. I can address that if you have a question, Robert.
Okay.
Pardon?
I can address that if you have a question.
Why aren't we replacing it with the same material and kind?
Because slate is not really appropriate for that low level of slope. So it never should have been put on there when it was 50 years ago. And we've had a lot of issues with it at the church since. So we're looking to change that because it wasn't appropriate at the time.
How old is the parish house building?
70 years.
1964.
64, okay. What color will it be?
Gray.
Musket gray.
Probably.
Thank you very much.
All right, as the applicant, are there any other comments or anything else to point out for council? Any other comments from the public? Okay, and wait, I thought Mr. Malloy, you're here, yeah?
So, yeah.
Okay, so no, nothing else. And then the Wyatts, so you're good? There's no other comment for that then, for the church?
Nope.
Okay, all right, and then I'm not sure if the Wyatts are here. Mr. Wyatt is also here. So Mr. Wyatt is the applicant. Is there anything you'd like to share regarding the wall?
No, just restoring it, so it'll look nice.
Okay. Oh, and so what are you putting on top of it? Is it going to be the consistent thickness with next to it? Because that was not in the documentation.
Yeah, we're going to match the wall that's to the left and to the right of us. So it'll be the red local sandstone. So it looks like one contiguous wall, hopefully.
Great, thanks. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Oh, Nicole, you're muted.
I was aye.
Yeah, okay. All right, motion passes. I have a question. We withdrew the 115 Liberty Street due to some issues that need to get resolved. And so my only question is, and this was for the solicitor, I know there was a lot going around beforehand, and Sue, in your conversations as well, would it make sense, and should we vote to approve the windows, which is this application, and then but pending resolution of any zoning questions? And
so Tara, my comment on that is just this. The way this is written, it sounds like this was a certificate of appropriateness for replacement of existing windows in the existing house. That's not the case. This was windows in the addition.
Right, yes, no, I know. Yeah. They in the conservatory, I guess, whatever it's called, all the little windows going around making it four square. Right. So I, you know, I'll let you determine that. So I just didn't know if we want to say, are we okay with those windows? But of course, you know, the entire thing has to wait until the zoning component is resolved. So I don't know what you think and what Mike thinks in terms of that.
Well, I think if you wanted to approve it, because there's no issue with the certificate of appropriateness for the windows, you could make it very clear that no building permits will issue for any of the work until the issue regarding the zoning issues, which have recently been discovered, are resolved. So you could approve this tonight, but not issue any building permits until the zoning matter is resolved. It's also my understanding that the applicant, the property owner, has stopped all work at this point in time until while they try to work out the zoning issues. So,
now, Mike, does the zoning issue include the potential addition of a driveway along the neighbor's house and theirs?
It does.
Okay.
Yeah, from what I saw today, it was all about setbacks and yeah, so.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so Sue, do you want to go ahead and do the vote for the COA for the windows?
Can I ask a quick question? Because I'm just a little bit confused. What were we talking about? And what was, okay, when the HARB application went through and what they approved was more than windows.
Nicole, when I looked at the application today, I saw that there was a zoning matter actually permit for this work had already been issued, and I contacted our zoning officer right away and said, you know, this is not in compliance with their zoning ordinance. And that is the major issue that's out there. There's also a discussion of a wall, which is going to be affected by the development. But that won't actually, I agree with Tara, this actually doesn't affect the window themselves. So if we can make a motion that is very definite that we are only approving windows and we are not making any comment or approval beyond that, then I would be fine with going ahead with that.
Is there an issue about whether this addition will be built at all?
There's an issue about the dimensions.
Well, I think we should table this until all the facts are clear. To do it piecemeal, we're not sure if we're affecting a decision on any other matters. So,
The one thing it would allow, Bob, is it would allow the applicant to not have to wait a cycle to come back to us for us to vote on those windows. So if the setback component is addressed suitably and they, you know, they meet the ordinance or they get a variance or whatever they decide they want to do, and they still, that portion of the house where they have their, what they're calling the conservancy, they want to keep that and have those windows, they don't have to wait another month to come back to us and get us to approve those windows on it. So that was my thought.
I guess the question is whether whatever the zoning aspects are will eventually have to come to us anyways.
No,
that's not true at all. It's a single home. It's not going to come to us at all. So I guess, Nicole, you raise a good point, because when I read the description of the application for the COA, it did talk about siding and all the rest of that. And so I'm actually questioning now why the COA is only for windows and not for the remainder of the addition. Did Barb already approve the rest of the addition?
Yeah, we did that last time.
That was another house. Last month?
I know the addition came through us on that residence.
That's why I was confused why this was like another application. I get that I'm just not.
So let me try and explain. If you'll notice, the numbering is very different. This is 009. The other two are 18 and 19, right? So they had made an application earlier, and now they're requested to change the type of windows. They want to put in aluminum clad, 2/2 aluminum clad windows. So it's not the entire application. It's a change to the earlier application. Make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
If I may, as just a public person here, can I ask just what address you're talking about?
Sure, it's 115 Liberty Street. So I'm good either way. If we want to go ahead and approve this change to the windows, that's fine.
Now that I understand that there's a change in the approval that we already gave in the prior month, and if everyone's okay with that change, because aluminum clad is acceptable. I'm fine with, you know, moving forward with that. It's up to you.
And Harv approved the change.
Yes, they're recommending approval. Yes.
So I mean, Sue, do you want to make the decision if you wanted to do it, or would you rather wait?
I actually don't have a strong opinion. We had talked earlier that maybe we should table it, but it's true that then that means that they'll have to wait for a month to come for us to come back together and vote on it. So that's fine. I'll do it. I'll make a motion to follow the recommendation of the Historical Architectural Review Board and direct the President of Council to sign the following certificate of appropriateness, thereby approving the historical appropriateness of the application with final approval by the Code Enforcement Officer. C of A 2020-009, applicants are the Pickers Gills at 115 Liberty Street. The applicant is seeking a certificate of appropriateness for the placement of windows. Aluminum clad 2/2. Harv recommended approval of the application as presented.
A second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further conversation?
Just want to make sure that we are approving only the style of the windows, not the placement of the windows, because clearly that could change if they have to redesign their addition.
Yeah, and the placement is already a prior application in the design of it. So, yeah, if that gets changed, then they go back to Harv, and then they come back to us if they're changing the design. Yeah.
I just have one question. What were the original windows that were approved? Do you know? Do you remember?
I believe that there would, Bob. That's I should have looked that up. But
okay, all right.
Yeah, I think they were 1/1. And they were concerned about not having it look like it's part of the original building, which one does. And they, after looking further into their plan, they realized if they made it 2/2, it would look very nice. And it would not, because of the design, overall design of the addition, it would not like trick the viewer into thinking it was a historic original part of the house, part of the Secretary of Interior's recommendations, as you have heard many times. So. It was 1/1. I'm pretty sure, but then wanted to make it clear.
That is true for sure. I thought the material changed as well.
Okay, thanks. All right. Any other comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
No.
Okay. Motion passes. Okay. All right, next, Sue?
Is it me or is it the engineer's report?
You have CLG.
Oh, right.
I'm sorry. I missed that. So the Certified Local Government offers grants to historic boroughs and towns like ours, and they're changing their application process. So even though we have currently no grant application in place, they want us to, and everyone, to sign a contract that would be good for the next 3 years that will facilitate any application that we do put in the future. So it's got zero impact at the moment because we don't actually have any grant applications in. But I see no downside to us doing it. Just wanted to mention it and see if anyone else had any concerns. That was easy.
Yeah, I think it looks great. I think they're great doing it, and we want to be on board so that if we any future grant applications that we make can be, the process will be streamlined.
Do we need to make a motion to authorize signing this agreement?
I believe we do, but I would defer to our solicitor.
It does bind us to something, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Am I muted? No. Yeah. No, you do.
No, you're not. Yep. So, yes, we would need a motion.
So I would like to make a motion to approve signature of the contract with the certified local government for future grant opportunities.
Give a second.
So are we authorizing the president to sign? Or are we being specific regarding who signs it, or does it matter, Mike?
Well, most things are signed by the president, but yeah, Judy, if you wanted to make it specific, but you're not required to.
Okay. Okay. Leave it as it is then.
All right. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any other further questions or discussion?
I would just say that I know we've talked about certified local government, and they try to make things as easy as possible for us to get the grants. So I think it makes sense to do it now and then see what happens later on.
Yeah, this is a whole new program they're implementing. It's called the Master Grant Contract. And they are setting it up so a lot of the initial paperwork you have to go through with them and with the state is already done. And you do it once and it applies to all of them and it makes everything a lot faster and smoother. So, okay, any other public comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes. All right, thanks, Sue.
Thank you.
All right, and on to our engineer.
Thank you. The first item I have for you tonight is the 2019 road program. And the first part under that is change order number one for that road program. We need a change order to correct some of the quantities of three different line items, which would amount to a total of $1,500 for that change order. So I would recommend that council approve change order number one, changing the quantities of bid item number 8, stone curb replacements for homeowners, bid item number 10, concrete driveway apron replacements for homeowners, and bid item number 13, pavement repair, type 1 pavement repair, all amounting to $1,500 deletion to the contract.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. Any further comments or questions from council on the change order?
So since some of these are for homeowner and some are borough, does it need to be delineated into any separate changes? Separate amounts to change the contract, or they could be lumped together?
For the change order, it could be all lumped together for as one change order. We're just changing the quantities of those specific bid items.
Thank you.
Michelle, which streets were these that are affected by these change orders?
I believe they were all on Chancellor Street.
For the project we've completed, correct?
2019 road program, yes.
Thank you.
All right, any public comment? All right, we've got a motion, we've got a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Nicole, you're muted, but I'm assuming you said yes.
It was I. Yeah, sorry.
All right. Thanks all.
All right. The next item for the 2019 road program is the pay estimate number 6, which is going to be your final pay estimate for this for last year's road program. We're recommending payment to Haynes Paving and Landscaping Inc. in the amount of $21,626.07.
So the motion as it's sitting on our agenda actually is probably has some incorrect words in it. It was talking about a motion to release the final pay estimate, which is what you just referred to, but then it refers to it being for the road improvement program and the maintenance bond. But actually, I assume that meant that that condition on receiving the maintenance bond. Is that what?
I'm sorry, Julia. Yes, it was conditioned upon receiving the maintenance bond, which the borough now has.
Okay.
So should the motion be changed, or is it motion good?
It probably should read a motion to pay final pay estimate number 6 in the amount of $21,626.07 for the 2019 road improvement program.
So moved.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion with a second. Any further discussion or questions?
Michelle, is there a retention account for this also left over that we have to address, or is this the final payment?
This is the final payment. The maintenance period security is there in case there are any structural defects to any of the improvements. 1 year from today, within 1 year from today, they will have to repair those items.
So is there a bond sitting there for that?
Yes, there is, and the borough has received it.
And have we completed all final inspections on all the punch list items we had?
We have.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michelle.
Was there a vote? I'm sorry.
No, this was comment. Question.
Okay.
Comment.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions, comment? Public comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passed.
Just as a final question to Michelle, does that bond run from today when we make the approval, or from the final payment date?
From today, the date that council made the motion to pay the final amount.
Okay. My only suggestion, Judy, is to put a reminder from 1 year from last week for us to double check, because we're going to have to release that bond if everything's okay.
Yes, we do that, Bob. Also, we do it about a couple months, 6 to 8 weeks before the bond is set to expire, so that we give ample time for the contractor to repair anything.
Thank you.
The next item I have for you is this year's road program. All documents have been submitted to PennDOT, so it is right now in their review. We need their approval before we have the pre-construction meeting and the contractor gets to start the work. Borough Council has also received two requests from the two homeowners that have some curb and curb work that have to be done this year. The first request, Tara, I don't know if you want to go in any special order. Do you want to tackle the Adamuscos first?
Sure, that sounds good.
All right, the Adamuscos are have a business on South State Street, but the road improvements are along Mercer Street. In this year's road program, they are required to do 52 linear feet of stone driveway depressed curb replacement, 24 square yards of driveway apron, 40 square feet of concrete sidewalk, and 10 linear feet of stone curb replacement. Mr. Adamusco sent a request to Borough Council recently asking Borough Council to not require him to do the 10 linear feet of stone curb replacement, which amounts to $618.70. I had sent to you, and it should be in your packets, pictures of this area. The curb that he does not want to do is directly adjacent to the sidewalk that has to be replaced. The sidewalk is at a couple of feet difference in elevation from his depressed curb. So he has a driveway depression, and then immediately from one side of the driveway depression, the curb goes up and meets the sidewalk. The sidewalk has to be replaced because there was a tree that was removed, and it's probably its root systems had a created a tripping problem with the sidewalk. So it was recommended that that portion of the sidewalk be replaced. And with that, the curb along this frontage is a little different type of curb. It's not just straight concrete curb. It's just not straight stone curb. It's stone curb with a little bit of concrete that was attached to the sidewalk. So in order to do the sidewalk, you really have to do the curb replacement also.
There is a number of somebody who's calling in, 301 area code. And I know that Mr. Armesto was hoping to join us tonight. And I also know that our second requester, Mr. Hellinger, had said that he gets out of work at 7 and he's not sure if he'd be able to. Of course, it is now 8 o'clock and he, you know, that might, I don't know who that is. So I'm going to ask the person calling from the 301 area code to please say, are you one of the gentlemen who has written regarding your curb replacement?
The 301 area code is Mark Hallinger.
Oh, okay. Hi, Mark. Okay, so
hello.
We're doing Let Adam Musk go first, then we'll get to yours. So now I know
no we're
here, and I know that Mr. Musk was going through it. I do not see him. Judy, do you see him anywhere?
No.
No. Okay. All right. Okay. So then let's continue with this.
So are we opening for questions now, or is there further?
Yeah, I just wanted to see if the applicant was, or there were the, you know, the resident, the property owner was here.
So Michelle, I guess, first of all, is all we see is a picture of this property. Is this stone curbing consistent with the rest of the street, or is it kind of an outlier, or?
The 10 linear feet of curb is being required to be replaced because the sidewalk is has to be replaced because of the tripping hazard. The sidewalk along Mercer Street is not in perfect shape either, but when I was out there on site with the two members of council and the council president, we discussed various improvements that should be done to this property, and he will be replacing his driveway depression. He'll be adding a new concrete apron, and it was thought best to replace the sidewalk. And when you replace the sidewalk, you really have to do this 10 feet of curb also.
So, I mean, if the rest of the street doesn't have this stone abutted directly to concrete, has the owner agreed to have a more normal, typical concrete curb along with the concrete sidewalk?
No, it's going to be that stone curb next to the sidewalk.
But he's asking to not do the stone.
He's asking not to do any curb at all, I believe.
Is it possible to not have a curb? You can't just end the sidewalk with nothing. So
Terry, you're muted.
Yeah, sorry. He wants to leave his curb there as is and not have to pay for the 10 linear feet of stone curbing to be realigned, reset, or replaced as needed. But as Michelle's pointing out, I don't know if that can be done if you're going to do the sidewalk. So he's looking at the curb and says the curb doesn't look that bad, and can he just not have to do it?
If I can give you some background, we've met with this gentleman several times, and the first concept was to replace the entire curbing from the corner of State and Mercer all the way to the driveway. And as a accommodation, we basically divided that length from State Street to Court Street in half, and we are replacing the half closest to Court Street. That is, the corner will have, I believe, handicap ramps. Then the driveway will be fixed. Then the sidewalk with the tree uploading and that curbing will be fixed, and then it will stop. And then there's a substantial portion of the street which could have been replaced, but we agreed not to replace it. So we have already reduced this project for the property owner in half. It may not come out numerically, but from a physical standpoint, we cut down his improvements in half already.
I'll just add one thing, one clarification, Bob, and that's the rather than replacement, part of that curb could have been realigned rather than replaced.
Correct. But we didn't do that.
Okay, so I think what Bob just said clarified something for me. There is a bunch more of stone curbing that's not being replaced, so it wouldn't make sense to have part of it be stone and then make this replacement be concrete. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you, Michelle, for clarification on that.
All right, thanks. Yeah, and the other piece, Marv, is that it is part of that, you know, beautiful old slate curbing, and that it adds to the aesthetic of the town, and we don't want to be tearing it up and putting down just generic concrete if we can help it. So the hope is to have it, you know, realigned, or if anything needs to be replaced, to be replaced in stone. And that's something that CKS, you know, said that, I can't remember if it was you, Michelle, or if it was Joe or somebody else, but that they can do that. So there's that element as well.
You're talking about the building that the Adam Musco insurance agent had, right?
Correct. Yeah, on the Mercer Street side.
Directly across the street from Bird and Hand.
Yeah.
And the borough property on a corner of Mercer and Court.
Yes, I'm very familiar, Bob. Thank you.
Yeah.
And the curbing on the Bird and Hand side, the portion between the boundary line of the property owner, Bird and Hand, and Court Street, the borough is picking up the cost for that curb replacement because that deteriorated also in similar fashion. It was like a slate vertical pieces and it just disintegrated. So that all has to be fixed. And that's on our ticket.
I already had a problem picking that up because that's borough property curbing. So,
right.
Yeah. So back to Mr. Adam Musco's property then. In the pews, but the letter is from Mr. Adam Musco. So he's suggesting that, you know, it's a large amount of money and he would like to remove the $618.70 worth of the 10 linear feet of stone curbing. And from what I understand, you're saying, Michelle, that it can't be, you can't really fix the sidewalk without either replacing or realigning the curb.
That's correct. The second picture of what I sent to you, I think, gives a good representation of the elevation change mm-hmm. between the driveway depression and then the top of the sidewalk. So it would be more like a handicap ramp in that area when we replace the sidewalk. You have a sidewalk area, and then you have to have a gently sloped area coming down to the driveway depression. Mm-hmm.
And that can be, that curbing can be like realigned, right? Because I know there was talk about replacement, but.
We're going to try to reuse it, yes.
Yeah, that was my understanding. So. Right. Anyone else?
The only thing I would say is that, I guess as of last year, it was a decision for council to be consistent when doing road programs. And one of the decisions that was is that we were finding over the years, if a curb wasn't replaced and wasn't pitched correctly, then you would actually have more road problems down the line. So I just wanted to note that that was a decision that in the past we had made. Chancellor Street, as we all know, had thousands of dollars spent by homeowners in order to, you know, to comply with a decision that was made.
I think, Michelle, you can confirm that part of the deterioration of Mercer Street is from underneath the pavement, and that has caused the alligator, just, you know, fingers of the pavement on Mercer. Is that correct? We have an underground problem?
Well, when you have deterioration of the top, the wearing surface of the road, those cracks develop and water gets down in through those cracks and creates problems to your base of your road. And that's when we have to do base repair of the road before we go back and overlay the road.
Thank you. So what disposition do we have to do here? The project has to be completed as designed.
I think it was brought to council tonight for council to hear Mr. Adamusko's and the Pew's request and to vote on whether or not they were going to take that part of the project out of this year's road program.
So, I would just make one clarification from what Michelle said. I think it's accurate, but we are within our rights to require that people replace the curb and sidewalk. I'm assuming that everyone has been notified that these replacements have to be made. We have a request from property owners asking to be exempted. So you can either vote to exempt them or take no action, and it's you're not required to take any vote right now saying yes, you have to do this. They're making a request. You can either entertain that or move on to the next agenda item.
So I'm hearing from the members of council and everybody listening to Michelle that the 10 linear feet of stone curbing does need to be either realigned or replaced as part of the adjustment of the sidewalk, which has greatly been pushed up. And this is, so may I get some confirmation from everyone? Is this, what we want to do is to continue as planned?
I mean, it sounds like there's already been a bit of a, you know, Bob already mentioned that they've talked and already given a bit. It was actually a bigger project than what's even stated. So I think that that compromise is good. And I appreciate Bob and Sue doing that.
My opinion is continue as planned.
All right.
Okay, so right, we'll move along.
It sounds like that is set that. Okay, so do now
how do we communicate back to Mr. Adamusko?
Michelle, the letter is written to the email to me as the president of council because I'm the one who signed off on the initial letters that go out, right?
Right. Correct.
So you are a professional working on behalf of council. So I would then reach out to him, correct?
I'd be happy to help you prepare a letter, you know, to go back to him.
Oh, that would be great. It's just
okay.
Helping to understand how it's all connected, and why it kind of has to be done. So,
sure.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
Okay.
Thank you, Michelle.
Sure. The second request was from Mr. Hellinger. Mr. Hellinger owns a property at 214 North Chancellor Street. This year's road program would replace 75 linear feet of concrete curb along his frontage of his property. He sent a request into the borough to ask that no curb be replaced similar to the one on Mercer Street. I sent pictures to you in case you weren't able to go out there and look at it, that shows how bad the curb is in front of his property. So again, it'll be up to council if you want to proceed as the project was bid, or if you want to exempt Mr. Hellinger from replacing his curb.
And may I clarify something before we move forward? Because I know there was a question about, and therefore that's my question. Though that 75 feet is all the component of it, of the frontage that is in the borough, correct? It's not included.
That's correct. That's correct.
All right. I just want to make sure there wasn't the, like, the measurement that included all of it, and this is why we were looking at this large amount. So, okay.
That section of Chancellor Street from Jefferson on the baseball field side has curving all the way up to the start of the hill. On the opposite side, there is also curving from Jefferson and Chancellor all the way up the hill. There is some curving that goes around giant trees, which were not disturbing, right, Michelle?
Correct.
But this is the final leg of the borough's curbing up to the property line. And so it's not like we're putting new curbing in a place that had no curbing. It is replacement of curbing.
We all know that.
Both sides.
Like, we all know that the curbing is already there, and that's the curbing that Mr. Hellinger talks about in his letter, and I'm sure everybody's looked at the photos for. My question is the 75 feet, that is the borough portion and not the township portion, because the property straddles the borough and the township, but the address is in the borough.
Correct. I believe his total frontage is somewhere around 100 linear feet, and as part of this year's road program, it's only 75 linear feet.
Michelle, it would be appropriate now to just invite Mr. Hellinger into the conversation.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your time. I think I hope you've all read my letters about this property. The existing curb was put in by my father and I, and I understand you say I'm only there 4 or 5 times a year right now. It's a rental. I do know that all the construction vehicles sometimes might drive up on it and knock it about more than it needs to be. The existing curb has been there since 1970 something. There have been multiple repavings of the road in that time frame, and there's never been an issue with anything. As far as I know, and I don't think anyone really needs it. I don't think there's any real reason for it. It's been fine with the prefab curb, and I'm willing to spend some of my own money to try to improve that, perhaps with metal tie downs to deal with construction trucks while the Pickering Manor construction and all that parking, all the workers park there now in front of my house. I'd have no problem with that. I can't imagine spending $8,000 on a curb. I can't afford it. I have that house as a rental, and a young family lives there. I don't want to have to raise rent on them. I don't want to have to do anything like that. Also, I didn't know about this until about 3 weeks ago when I got the letter from June. I'd never received any other notice. I'm stuck in Maryland. I don't even know if I'm allowed to go to, I guess I'm allowed to go to Pennsylvania. I'd love to go up there and fix this. I'll do anything I can, but I can't afford $8,000. I've lost so much, $10,000 of work this year in my job. I just can't afford that. And if the curve has existed for 50 years almost as is, I guess $8,000 seems a little excessive, just something to make me pay. I always pay my taxes. I do everything right. I know you're within your rights, but just because you can do something doesn't mean you need to. I don't think anybody would care if you let me make improvements myself and then judge it. And the only thing I would add is I think it might actually lower the value of my property to have a curb going 2/3 of the way across the property and stopping. I think that would look sort of ridiculous. Again, you have the right to do it, but please consider letting me, give me a little time to correct what's there. I also have a property manager. I can set him on it to inspect it once a week, drive by, that kind of thing. No problem with that. That's really all I have to say. Other than, you know, thank you for your time. And, yeah, that's it. I've got nothing else to say, I think.
Can I just ask one question to clarify? You talked about, we talked about the metal tie downs, but you talked about doing it yourself. How did you envision?
I would talk to Randy Yardley. He's my property manager. He manages the rental for me. He gets the rent, basically. But he does whatever little things that need to be done, and he'd be able to help me figure out something that would be appropriate. And I don't want the town to look bad. My God, I grew up there. You know, but it's also not State Street. There's no sidewalk on my property. All the foot traffic is in the street. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a place where you need to put a big city curb in. It's just not needed. And you might cause problems with water. We've never had an issue with water or flooding or anything like that. I'd rather not risk it because my driveway's right there. I don't want water pulling in my driveway from a new curb because it doesn't pull there now. And next thing you know, I have ice every in the morning, in the winter, in my driveway. That kind of thing can happen, no matter how good the engineers are. Yeah, water's a tough thing.
So I agree that this is a unique situation because of the fact that it's on the border between the township and the borough. Michelle, whatever happened, is it because the township suspended the roads program that we weren't able to work together on this?
Yep, that's why. This road was slated to be an ad alternate in this year's road program for the township. And they have decided to pull back their road program and had it rebid. And now North Chancellor is not part of their road program this year.
Okay, my second question is looking at this curb. I mean, it's hardly a curb. So, you know, if we had a situation where this gentleman had nothing in front of his house, as there were some properties on Chancellor Street where that happened, we didn't ask them to put in new curbs. So could you explain to me how, I guess I'm just saying like it's, I understand it's a curb, but it's almost like ground level. And I guess just let me know, because I wasn't able to get over there, on the township property, is that just grass or is that curb the same?
All right, the township portion is curb also, it's concrete curb. Like Mr. Hellinger said, what he installed, at least for part of it, is a prefab curb section. Just like the stone curb that we had installed, you could go buy a prefab section of concrete curb, and that's what it installed. It just doesn't have as much reveal.
It's 3 inches tall.
3 inches tall.
Something 5 inches. I don't know. It's smaller than a 8-inch curb or whatever the normal is.
So it's sections of curb that he had bought or had installed in front of his property next to
my
another
father and I installed it
where,
in the 70s. Apologies. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Where a concrete curb is formed, they have steel forms and they pour the concrete all together. So there's not different sections that get to move.
Yeah. I guess one of the problems is that, because they're prefab, they don't go down as deep. So they're more susceptible to
movable.
Yeah, and right now I would tell you that there's nothing holding it to the ground other than the fact that they weigh a ton. But when a car turns into it, it might knock it about. But I'm not there to replace it every day. I've done it periodically, but it's not exactly an issue. They're not flying out into the road or anything, and no one's tripping over it. It's not a safety issue. And I think
guess
it looks good.
So first for Nicole, in terms of last year, we did have some curbs on Chancellor that were very, very, very degraded, and they were replaced.
no curb at all. I'm wondering, because this sounds like...
But this is degraded curb, not no curb. Yeah.
I understand, but I'm saying why in 1970, what did you decide to put that curb piece in if there wasn't any, do you remember?
Well, I was 10 years old, but most like 1978. I was a child hauling sand from the backyard because my father was a small town doctor who did everything himself, and he had patients parked in front there, and he wanted to have a curb to pull up to so they wouldn't pull onto the drive to the grass. That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was a small town doctor who his fee was $20, and that's not the copay. That was his total fee for an office visit when he retired. He never took insurance.
And I noticed you have, in addition to those prefab curbs that you've set onto the grass, there's also looks like some paver, like flat brick, like.
Yeah. I think that happened when one of the curbs got cracked and broken, and he put them in later, I believe, to fill the space and redid everything.
Question to Michelle on the letter on June 10th. So is that the actual bid price for this job? Because the 110 for linear for foot sounds very high compared to what it was last year for concrete.
Yes, that is the actual bid price from T. Schieffer contractor for this year's road program. You're right. It is higher, definitely higher than what we saw last year, a little bit higher than what we typically see for concrete curb, but it's probably a factor of there's not much concrete in this year's road program. There's this concrete curb and there's the handicap ramps, and that's about it.
So does it get cheaper if you have more going on, I take it?
Yes.
Okay.
So
I mean, the strange thing with this is that the stone curb is cheaper than the concrete curb.
Yes.
So certainly one option that we've always allowed, you know, if the decision was to do nothing, then certainly we gave the option of stone as opposed to concrete last year, and that would be cheaper.
So I have a question, and I don't know how Bob and Sue feel, but is there any way that we can, like, put a pin in this curb, but like, and let him, I know the extension, or I know the date said July 15th, but is there any way to continue on with our plan and let, give this gentleman a month to come up with some sort of curbing solution? Like, because we always give the, the option to hire your own contractor. I mean, obviously it would have to be by the standards. I know there's, you know, specific standards that you would need, but is there any way we can just extend it to give them some time to see if there's another option if this seems high?
We could ask the current contractor if he could delay it. I don't know what his schedule is. We're still waiting on PennDOT approval, which we could get any day. We'd have to do a pre-construction meeting before that. So, at the earliest, construction could start in a week. We could have him start on Mercer Street and the other streets, but we don't like to, you know, he might have all this planned out. We don't like to tell him where he has to start if it's not written in the contract, but we could try.
Now, can I go back to Nicole, to your earlier observations? You were talking about the the yards that have no curb at all, and they didn't put a curb in, and you began to talk about how this is kind of like a temporary curbing laid on top of the grass rather than, or on the soil rather than being an actual curb, and it sounded like you were leading somewhere. Then the conversation went into a bunch of different directions with different people. But I just wanted to go back to that. Is that kind of what you were going towards, that it's not really curbing?
Well, no, I did go onto Google Maps, and I was able to see the other part of it that on the township side that was curbing. I think my bigger concern was if there was no curbing on the township side at all, if that makes sense.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
Because then it's going to be like it would be like grass and then curb, and that would be strange. I don't know.
Well, the more important thing is whether there's curbing on all the houses going south toward Jefferson, which I believe there is.
There is.
Yes.
I believe it's the old slate curbs. At least I hope it is still.
Well, that would make even more reason to give the, at a minimum, give the homeowner the option of stone curb, because that would be more consistent with the curbs on the other houses, and it would drop the price by $3,600.
Yeah, the other ones are all slate. So, oh, I was about to pull my calculator out there, Marv. You've done the math already.
No, I haven't done. Yeah, and I'm not sure whether my existing curb connects with the township curb or not, because that's where the sidewalk comes out as well, the brick sidewalk. I don't know if it goes all the way up there.
It does, Mr. Helm.
I can't remember.
Yeah, it does.
I have a question for Michelle. I know that, I mean, obviously curbing neatens up the edge of your property, but what role does curbing play in terms of maintaining the road surface itself? Because obviously if we have bad curbing, we want to replace it, but I'm guessing that it also would protect the road. Am I correct?
You are. It adds a structural support for the edge of the road. You have pavement, and then you have this concrete surface on the end of it to kind of hold it in place. It also acts as a gutter to channel stormwater runoff down along the edge of the curb.
It also looks like the irregular shape of what's there would make the road resurfacing very difficult.
It could be moved temporarily. That would be no problem.
Mr. Holland, are you talking about moving the curb itself?
The existing curb could be moved, pave it. I'll put it back right up against the macadam. Or put it back in some improved form even, because it probably needs that.
That doesn't sound like something we would want to do if we're trying to make sure that we have a good edge on our road. We certainly don't want to have a portable curb along it. It's not going to provide a structural element.
I think that's
okay. I would only add that it's been that way for 50 years, and I don't think there's been any particular issue.
Right, and I guess
with the road.
I was just going to say again, if it's able to be removed, to me that doesn't really sound like a curb.
And put
like, but I'm saying like I can't pick up my curb and then put it back in place.
Well, so this I'm would take machine. They would take machinery. You couldn't pick this.
Oh, okay.
It'd be the same as the contractor removing it, which they would have to do anyways.
I don't know. I'm sure Randy already get a bunch of his guys. Yeah.
Nicole, this is not like brick edging. These are rather deep, and the problem is they're all unaligned or depressed.
Yeah.
And in order to hold the road in place, we need new curbing. Okay. Now, if there's a substitution of materials which could reduce the cost, that's one consideration. And secondly, sir, we allow for payment over time. So this doesn't have to be paid all at once either. We can work with you over for the payment terms. So if there is a solution in alternative materials, that could help reduce the cost, and then spreading it over time will lessen the burden.
I appreciate that, but I am working five jobs right now, essentially. And it's just adding more to my burden. It's just something that I have to say is for something that I don't know if it needs to really be done, is just something that I really hope you reconsider that.
Right. You noticed, Ms. Chandra, that once your taxes are paid in August, you'll have less than $1,000 remaining in the account for the property.
Yes. I bought the house I grew up in from my brothers and went into a small amount of debt for that. Not a small amount, a moderate amount. And the house just pretty much pays for itself. I expected I'll have to put a new roof on it at some point, but that's my house. You know, that's not a curb that, and a roof will be needed. I don't know if a curb is truly needed.
Well, from an engineering standpoint, I hope you appreciate that our engineer is recommending the curb. And under the ordinance, we have an assignment of responsibility by policymakers who've preceded us. So we are working with an ordinance that we didn't pass, but we have to enforce. And I don't mean that in a punitive sense. We really appreciate the situation you're in that, and that we're all in considering the virus situation, but Newtown Borough has had a state of deferred maintenance. And the reason we're doing the road at all is because we're saving half the cost because we're following the water company up the street. Because they put in new piping up and down that street, they're sharing the cost of the repaving. So in terms of overall for all the residents in covering the cost of the road, you're sharing in that situation. But the reason we are doing this road at this time is because we're following the water company up the street. And this completes the entire length of Chancellor, which has been a 2-3 year project. So,
however, the road is due. It's not only, we're not doing it ahead of time.
We're not doing it. It's timely that we're doing it because of the cost savings to the borough and all the residents. So it's not like we picked this particular street at this time. We are following the lead of the water company. So these are the factors that we as elected officials are facing. I hope you appreciate where we're coming from also.
I do appreciate that, but again, $8,000, it just seems excessive, far and away. For something that if it was not done, probably wouldn't make a difference.
Well, you're talking about the integrity of the road as repaired, and that's
where the integrity of the road has been that way for generations.
But we're fixing the road to improve it.
You also have the option of repairing it yourself. So have you looked into that possibility?
No, I got this letter like 3 weeks ago in mid to late June, whatever it was.
So can I make a suggestion? I know, Michelle, that you said that it could be an issue of timing with the contractor, and I understand that. But can we give an extension so that Mr. Hellinger can look at options? We can also look at the replacement of concrete with stone, as we talked about, that would, it sounds like, cut the price almost in half. Yeah,
so the immediate effect of that would be that instead of the $8,250, it would be $4,640.
It's rather than 110 per foot, it's $61.87 per foot. So the stone is definitely cheaper, but it's still a substantive amount.
So he didn't get the earlier notice. Can we try to give him an extension so that he can look at other options? And again, Michelle, I understand that could be an issue for the contractor, but it seems fair if he didn't know about this until 3 weeks ago that he had a little bit more time to try and figure out his options.
Sure, we could try that. Could I? I'd like to suggest that maybe we put this on the work session agenda so that it's not. So when I ask the contractor if he's willing to wait to do this part of the contract, it's not a full month. It's at least a week ahead of time that we could do that.
Yeah, we were the plan for the work session is to do it to just have E-code, unless something absolutely has to be 6 days ahead of time. So if this these 6 days are important because we're looking at the fall coming, then we could have this on there, but only if we need to. Or we're trying to prevent other agenda items from moving into the ordinance review. So if we do need to do it then, as you said, as we that week earlier, we can. But only if we have
Okay, I'd like to ask Mr. Hellinger a question, and that is, Mr. Hellinger, would you like to do it with the stone replacement with the stone curb rather than the concrete curb if it was going to cost you quite a bit less?
Yes. I'd also like the option of having, I think I can probably ask my property manager to get in touch with you and figure out if there's some even cheaper way to get something done that's that would be sufficient.
Certainly he could do that. So at least I could contact the contractor and say there will be a change order. We will be going with the stone curb. We may be going with the stone curb or nothing at all. And I also will ask him if he could delay this part of the contract for another month.
I would appreciate that.
Essentially, he hasn't planned yet whether he's doing Mercer or Chancellor yet first.
Mark, hold on.
That's correct. I'm sorry, that's correct. So I just wanted a clarification from council. Is it council's wish that I ask the contractor to delay this part of the contract until you decide whether or not Mr. Hellinger is exempt from putting in curb?
My opinion would be he's not exempt. And I think we should give him an exact time. Mr. Hellinger, so our next work session is on August 8th, is it? And
August 5th.
So if you could have a solid contract, you know, a bid to do something cheaper on your own, that would be acceptable.
Yes,
it would revert to stone, if not that.
Okay, I will contact my property manager. You probably know Randy Yardley.
Yes. He just installed a door for us this week.
Yeah, there you go. He knows who to talk to, I assume. That's why I hired him. And that and his mother was my kindergarten teacher.
So we need something back solid by August
5th.
August 4th.
everybody needs time to look at. Like, yeah. Come in.
Or the Friday. What does the Friday?
31st of July.
Okay. So we need something solid by the 31st of July, or else it would revert to the stone, which would at least, you know, drop the price substantially.
Or Mark, how about the Monday before? So how about the 3rd? Because that gives time to upload it. You have 2 days to look at it. And it gives the weekend for any, you know, extra time for Mr. Allen.
Michelle, what's the timetable, Michelle, with PennDOT? Do we have to wait for them to do anything? And what is our deadline with them?
There is no deadline with them. All of the required information was submitted to them. So we have to wait for their approval before we have a pre-construction meeting, which is required with the contractor.
So when do you think that's going to happen?
We expect it any day, approval from PennDOT any day. It usually doesn't take very long.
Okay, so probably within the next 2 weeks, we should hear from them and then a meeting immediately thereafter.
Correct.
Okay, I just so Mr. Hellinger knows what our timetable is, that we are moving forward because the contractor has to get on the job.
Understood. And would the stone even look like what the curb is across the property south of me?
It would look similar to that. So it depends upon the quarry they get the curb from. Sometimes it's more grayish, sometimes it's more bluish.
But it'll look much more similar than concrete would, actually.
Correct.
I think it'll look better than concrete. Okay, I will talk to my property guy, talk to Randy, and I'll see if he can help me just get some contractors out there to get some possible things that might even be a little cheaper than that to help me out.
And when he gets those contractors, please have them contact our office so we know what's going on.
Yes. Who should he contact specifically? I can let him know that.
You could contact the borough, and the borough will give you my contact information.
Sure. And I'm sorry. You're the engineer?
Borough engineer. Yes.
Borough engineer.
Yes.
I saw your name, but I on another piece of paper. Okay. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, and I have your email too, because you sent that. Well, everybody has got your email now because I forwarded your letter on to everyone. So we can just send you that information as well. Yes.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your time, and I hope I didn't take up too much of your time.
No, sir. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Hallinger.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Take good care of Newtown. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Moving along, that's all the agenda items I had for you tonight. You have my engineer's report. I don't know if there's any questions. Otherwise, that's all I have.
Thank you.
Michelle, when you have the PennDOT meeting, do you need Susan and myself there?
No, we do not need you there. You're more than welcome to be there.
Okay, just let us know when it is.
All right, actually, it's not a meeting with PennDOT. PennDOT gives their approval. We have a pre-construction meeting with the contractor.
That I think I'd like to attend. So, because okay. It'll be our first time through the exercise. Thank
sure.
you.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, thanks, Michelle.
Sure.
All right, on to our solicitor's report.
I'll ask Valentina to take the first two issues regarding the zoning hearing board and the right to know policy update.
Sure. So for 204 Penn Street, we obtained the signed agreement by the property owners and the borough signed it. So it does not need to be recorded. So the borough will keep the original with the property file, and our office has a copy too. And we were not instructed to do anything with regards to that application as we completed or as we finalized the agreement with the property owner. For Rocco's, we were instructed at the work session last week to represent the borough in opposing the variance for the impervious surface. So we will be in attendance. We will not be opposing the special exception application. In terms of the right to know law, I worked with Sue. We added a sentence to the previous policy that just simply said the right to know officer should seek advice of a solicitor. It's not required, but it is encouraged if there are any questions related to the request, just to make it clear that communication between the two offices should occur if there are any questions. And that's all.
The policy review regarding conduct at public meetings has been tabled, and the next two items are regarding ordinance amendments from the Pennsylvania Municipal Retirement System for the police pension and the non-uniform pension plan. Both of these amendments come from the Office of General Counsel for PMRS. We've briefly looked them over today. They seem to be very simple, straightforward housekeeping matters. There's no substantive changes to the plan. This is mostly seems to be some language cleanup. And we would say that they're both in a form which they can be adopted by, or you can move forward with these.
And then to clarify for everyone, for the non-uniform pension plan, the change, which is required by the IRS, is to include a definition for a full-time employee, which is somebody who works 40 hours a week. And then for the police pension plan, the change again required by the IRS is the same thing, to define a full-time employee.
And then second, to list collective bargaining unit title, which is the Newtown Borough Police Officers Association. So those are the only changes to it. They're just adding in those definitions and that information. So, but because we are changing the pension plan to add those, we do need to have an ordinance. So if somebody's comfortable making a motion for that, we can do so and go ahead and discuss it. Or we can have discussion and do the ordinance to change it at the next council meeting. But we need to move forward.
Well, this would be an ordinance amendment, and I'm assuming, and I apologize if I'm incorrect on this, has this been advertised?
No.
Yeah, so this would need to be an authorization, right? Yeah. You would need to be authorizing advertisement of this.
Right, because it is, we're not just changing the pension plan, we're changing the ordinance. Okay, so we would need to direct Judy to advertise the ordinance change.
I move that we authorize the advertisement of an ordinance amending the police pension plan and an ordinance amending the non-uniform pension plan.
Do we have to do that in two separate motions?
No, I don't think so. It's mostly a procedural vote to authorize to advertise, so you're okay.
All right, thanks.
Unless someone wants to vote against it, so. But.
I'll second it then.
All right, you have a motion and a second. Any further discussion or question? Any public comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes. All right, thank you. And then I just want to cycle back to the right to know law policy. We continued that review in that we had those, update in the tweakings. We discussed it. Where are we with that? Do we then say, everybody take a look at it, and then we put it on the agenda for the council meeting in August?
That's where I think we are, Tara.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I've lost my highlighter. There we go. All right. All right. So, Judy, if we can add that to August, that would be
great.
Yes. Pardon? I'm sorry, Bob?
I just have an operational question on, have we been getting any right-to-know requests during our shutdown period, and have we been able to reply timely, or however we're supposed to do it?
Yes and yes.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Judy.
You're welcome.
Okay. On to the minutes. I'll entertain a motion to approve the June 3rd work session minutes.
So moved.
I move. Second.
All right, so that was Sue, you moved in, and Bob seconded, correct?
Correct.
All right, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes. All right, next.
I move to approve the June 9th, 2020 online council meeting minutes.
Motion, do you have a second?
Second.
I'll second.
Ooh, that was fast. Yeah.
Hit the button, Nicole. Hit the button.
All right. All right. Thanks. Any discussion or question? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes. All right. And thanks, Judy. I know you had a lot of work there.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. Budget and finance?
Do you want me to do it, Marv? Sorry.
Okay,
I'm up. I'll make a motion to accept, subject to audit, the consolidated expenditure report for the month of June, totaling $176,475.05.
Second.
Any discussion?
A question for Nicole. Was there a payment to the fireman agreement with the township in that? For about 25,000
I can answer that or Nicole. It's not to the township or the agreement with the township, but it was a, you know, amount we had set aside for the fire association it was in the previous year's budget.
So have we just kept it in a separate account, or where is it?
It's not in the general fund. It's not in the general fund. There is a fire tax fund that it was in.
So we have not turned those funds over.
Yes, they have been turned over.
That was part of the expenses.
That was this.
So we also, and we also wrote the checks out to some of the donations that we give as well. So you would also see that on the report.
And the other part of the fire association is, I think there was a payment for the workman's compensation that we pay. So that plus the 23 is what the total amount that was out of the fire fund.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Bob. All right, any other questions? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes. Okay, and then Bob had asked in an email the other week if we could have just a sort of quick financial update. We'll be able to give a fuller update after we get all of our EIT in, and then right now we can't do a comparison for prior years for everything because the audit is happening now, the routine audit. So Pat did pull together some numbers which was shared with budget and finance, and then put in general share file for everyone to look at. Pat's official assessment is things are looking pretty good. So she's got, if you look at the earned income tax for this time of year, July 2018, 2019, and 2020, in July of 2018, we had 65.8% of it was in. In 2019, we had 63.8%. Actually, if you add to where we are today at the 65%. And then right now we are at 52.2%. And all of the EIT is not in yet. You always have some that come later because people come in like actually very late. But the due date is, because of the extension, the due date is tomorrow, and then it will take a couple weeks to get cycled through Keystone before we see it ourselves. So,
we'll also have an impact on those people who file their income tax returns in September. Mm-hmm. Individually. So
do you mean if the extensions would be October, actually?
To October. So still may have a delay in the payment, but the money should come in for us.
Well, in fact, they should, if they're filing an extension, the money should have gone in at the time of the extension. But what I've noticed is that when you look at the EIT revenues, that the drop off is indeed largely in April, May, which is when normally you would have gotten all the money that came in with the April 15th, you know, tax filing.
Mm-hmm.
So that just wouldn't have come in. And right. So we don't exactly know how much of it could be because of lower income, which would probably be those people that are withholding. But there are a lot of people that don't withhold. I know at least two categories are people out of state or self-employed. I don't even know if all businesses in Pennsylvania withhold.
Right.
But those people, yes, they're paying estimated, but I don't know the exact amount, but I'm sure a substantial amount normally gets paid on April 15th, which in this case got delayed until potentially tomorrow. And so hopefully some of that shortfall is going to reappear in the next I think it's supposedly a 3 to 4 week accounting period for when Keystone turns the money over.
So
So, yeah, so I don't know if we'll have it in time to get a full, you know, for Pat to run a full update and get all the numbers in for the next council meeting. But, excuse me, definitely in September. So, Nicole, did you have any other observations or comments?
Nope.
I mean,
just better to have the comparison figures. So without that, it's a little hard to, I don't know, have a real hold on it, I guess I would say.
Yeah, we have the you know, if you look at the general fund, which is, you know, the largest chunk, and, you know, where we are in terms of there's our income and then, you know, the percentage we spent or where we are, you know, we're not necessarily like over budget. Most things are below or where we are with percentage of budget. Right. So I could say that without, you know, our full analysis, which we'll be able to do, we haven't gotten a real serious hit. And we certainly don't have to be going and like applying for loans or doing anything like that.
So, I've been trying to find out the unemployment numbers for our zip code, but that's been a almost impossible project. I mean, I've called the different senators and reps offices and they keep directing me to different places, and I still haven't gotten a handle on what are the unemployment application numbers for 18940.
Yeah, I know some things came out from the county a while ago in that information sheet we have. Of course, that's out of date. So I don't know if you've checked with the county. But one thing to consider, 1894 is huge. It's not just us in the township. But I think it gets, I'm not sure if it's through Sporting Holland or it gets over Mayfield. Like, I'd have to look. But it there are a number of municipalities that are within 18940. So you would get a very big picture, but it... I don't know how much will apply just to the borough. But thank you for trying.
Yeah, you can't break it out by borough.
No,
can't break it by the borough.
That effort, I appreciate it. And you know, and it's still good to know because it is our larger community. I'm sure it's out there. So, okay. All right. So next we have the EAC, and then we have personnel.
Okay, I've been contacted by Penn Environmental, and I passed the information along to the EAC for their recommendation. You may recall that when council wanted the General Assembly to pass a statewide law banning single-use plastics and so on, and we had said, you know, please do this because as a small borough, we can't really affect it on our own, that shortly thereafter or somewhere in that time, when last year's budget was passed, there was a subsection added to the budget bill by someone, and I believe it was in Western Pennsylvania, that stated that for the next year, no Pennsylvania municipalities were allowed on their own to regulate plastics. And that particular statement got added in again to the budget bill that was passed in May, which, as I understand it, only takes care of part of the year for Pennsylvania's budget. Because of the COVID crisis, they decided to divide it up. So there is currently a clause in the budget bill that says that through 2021, municipalities aren't allowed to regulate single-use plastics. So what the Penn Environmental has been asking is for municipalities to sign on to a letter to be sent to our state rep and our state senator, urging them to oppose any legislation going forward that preempts Pennsylvania municipalities from implementing any policies to reduce local pollution from single-use plastics. So that is, if we decided we didn't want restaurants in the area to use styrofoam, or we wanted stores to provide paper bags and not plastic bags, that we are unable to do that because Pennsylvania law will forbid it. So I shared a sample letter on, you know, for everyone on ShareFile. The EAC looked at it yesterday. They are very much in favor, and they urged council to sign the letter. They made one just grammatical change in the first paragraph, but everything else they left as is. So my recommendation and theirs is that Borough Council vote to send the letter and have our president sign it, and urge our both Representative Perry Warren and Steve Sanicero to oppose any legislation that doesn't allow us to regulate plastics. Now, we all understand that the current crisis requires some understanding and so on, but the point is, the way the law is written now, we are not allowed to do anything. So we can't come up with any rules, we can't do anything that will affect the use of plastics. You're all stunned.
Yeah, I'm waiting to, does anybody have a question? I mean, Julia, you are as the EAC liaison, you're welcome to make the motion, and then we can have a discussion if you want to do that.
Sure, I can do that. All right. I make a motion to authorize sending a letter to Representative Perry Warren and Senator Steve Sanicero, urging them to oppose any legislation that preempts Pennsylvania municipalities from implementing policies to reduce local pollution from single-use plastics.
Second.
All right, so we have a motion, we have this a second. Any discussion?
Does either the legislation restrict counties from passing any policies, or does it only restrict municipalities? And would this only allow municipalities?
Actually, I did not print out the actual law. I put that up on ShareFile for everyone to look at that section.
I have it if you want me to read it.
Yeah, I think that they would be like any governmental body, basically.
Yep, the General Assembly or a local governmental body or agency may not enact or enforce a law, rule, regulation, or ordinance imposing a tax on or relating to the use, disposition, sale, prohibition, or restriction of a single-use plastics, auxiliary containers, wrappings, or polystyrene containers. Remember that resolution? This is my little bracket resolution we did about polystyrene. Until July 1, 2021, or 6 months after the order issued by the governor on March 6, 2020, blah, 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 and in any renewal of the state of disaster emergency, whichever is later. So until July 1st or the end of any renewal of the state of disaster emergency in the state of Pennsylvania, we can't have a law, rule, regulation, or ordinance in any way relating to anything that you might do with single-use plastics or just polystyrene. So that is, it's fairly broad in limiting what we, the borough, can do. And I second what you said, Julia. You know, right now, it's hard. A lot of restaurants are working to survive, and a lot of people are doing takeout, and they may not always be able to find the containers they might wish to use. We don't want to make additional hardship for a restaurant, so we're not considering, like, banning single-use plastics in the borough right now, but this says you basically can't do anything in any control and any thing, any rule relating to it at all. And I'm advocating for boroughs to be able to control what happens within them and not to have that restricted.
I mean, I would just think to make it broader, unless you, as a borough, wouldn't want the county to say we want to have a county-wide, you know, diminishment of plastics. So I heard local government entities there. So, you know, if counties are also considered within the realm of local government entities, I think that, you know, our opposite, you know, we should oppose any legislation that preempts Pennsylvania's local government entities from implementing policies, so, you know, a municipality or a county.
Yeah, specifically, Mark, it says body or agency.
Well, and I think the letter echoes what you're talking about, Marvin, unless I'm misunderstanding it, because it refers several times to local officials without saying borough officials. So I think that was the intent.
Okay, just usually municipalities are boroughs and townships.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to, the sample letter does say municipalities.
Right.
I think that they were intending municipalities to sign on. So there's basically we're saying we don't want you to regulate us. So I don't know if there's a separate letter coming around from counties, say the county saying we don't want you to regulate us either. But in this case, we specifically want to speak to our municipality. Can our municipality do anything? So for example, the township EAC had been considering some kind of award system that gave, which obviously this all kind of fell apart with the COVID problem, but that they would be recognizing, say if it was a restaurant that didn't use, that only used compostable materials in their takeout stuff, that there would be some kind of recognition, you know, like we recognize and we award you a gold star or whatever. So basically the way this is written is that you couldn't even set up some kind of an award system that would acknowledge people who were trying not to use plastics anymore.
Right, because I can think of at least one restaurant in the township which all of its takeout is in cardboard and compostable and their forks and, you know,
oh, right.
Yeah, so that's true. So it's not just saying you can't make a law limiting, you can't do anything about it.
I don't know why we would not support this. I think it's important anyway, but it's actually not taking any action other than sending a letter saying, please don't renew these laws. So I don't, I'm in favor of sending the letter.
All right. So we've got a motion. We had discussion. Any further discussion? Any public comment?
Yeah, I have a comment. I haven't been on council for a while now, but it was always my understanding, and maybe Mr. Clark can help me with this, but most of the power that the municipalities have are derived from the state. So now what we're asking to do is have, you know, our own personal, you know, we're not going to be controlled by the state anymore. And, you know, I just think that once again, you know, we always have to look to see where, you know, what we can really do. And there was a statement made earlier by Julia said that initially we decided that we weren't going to do it because we couldn't be effective on our own. And I don't know how we can be effective now if we weren't effective back then. And I think that it's just one of the things that I think we have to follow the, you know, what I've always thought that the council, borough council should do what it can in its own particular area, but at the same time, it has to follow what the state law is. The other thing that you mentioned, Susan, or somebody had mentioned, I don't know why you couldn't have an award system. It wouldn't be, it would not be a ordinance or anything. It would just be a recognition. And I think that's much different than having, you know, our own little law that regulates single point plastic.
Yeah.
Mr. Clark, I guess just Mr. Clark, is my assumption correct that most of the powers that the borough has are derived from the state, so that we really don't have that much latitude to make our own individual ordinances that are, you know, that don't concern the governing of the borough itself.
You're referring to Dylan's law, like, is that?
Every power we have comes from the state. We are creatures of and creations of the legislature. The same for townships, school districts, and counties. I think what this letter is trying to do is the legislature has given certain back control to the local municipalities. The legislature says you can make your own zoning ordinance. You can do other things along those lines. And I think that's what this letter is saying that this is an area that the borough and other municipalities should be able to decide for themselves. But yes, you're correct. We are creatures of statute.
So Bob, that what's happening is they're taking it away. We always had the authority and now they're taking it away. So we're saying don't take it away. So we're not trying to get something we didn't have. We're saying, like, let us continue to have this authority that we have had in the past. If you recall when we made the resolution regarding the police speed limit enforcement, so that rather than instead of having to sit there with their little like timers and click it, they could use the radar guns. And I feel like this is a similar thing. That was a request to allow us to do something. This is a request to not take a right away from us. But in the same way, we're making requests for what we are allowed or not allowed to do. Does that make sense?
Once again, I don't know that, you know, right at this particular point, whether we ever had the right to limit or control what private businesses did. Maybe you could fall under zoning and things like that, but I think we're sort of going out of our own little, you know, what I view as what our governmental responsibility is. Once again, I think, you know, I have no problem with you. I would say as an individual that you could write the state and say, please reconsider that, you know, once the, you know, I guess you could say, please reconsider passing now the law that would limit single use plastics in the state of Pennsylvania upon as once COVID-19 isn't an issue anymore. I think that's what we should do. Because once again, I think as our own little borough, I think we have, you know, if we have the ability to affect personal, you know, if people do not want to go to stores that don't follow, you know, don't have this recommendation, I think that they should have the right to do it. But at the same time, I don't know that we should end up being the enforcers on that particular law.
So what you're saying, yeah. So it sounds now I'm hearing is you're talking about the creation of a regulation or something in the borough, and we're not doing that. This is a broad range of restrictions that they're putting upon us that we didn't have before. You know, we could have before, like, made a resolution about something or done something to encourage a certain type of behavior or limited certain things going, you know, as far as our trash recycling. There are things that we could have done that they're saying now we can't. So the letter is to ask Stephen Perry to vote no on this portion of the bill that would remove rights we had in the past.
But I think the difference here is we're specifically asking for single point plastics. If we just say please remove the preemptive statement that we can't do, you know, certain things that we might normally be able to do, I wouldn't disagree with that. But I think, once again, we're being more specific, and, you know, I think that that's something that I don't know that we want to get into that type of regulation, and who's going to enforce it. I mean, we start looking at enforcement and things like that.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I would just note that.
Don't take away our powers. That's kind of how I'm looking at it. So
I just want to note that, Bob, we're a small town, but at the same time, things have to start somewhere. And there's many examples of towns that have taken away plastic straws, for instance. Many shore towns do that. LBI has taken away single-use plastic bags. It is something, and I know those are like mostly New Jersey examples, but there's two towns that I've been in that at a small level, they try to make a small change, and it just becomes something that, I don't know, then the next town might catch on to it, and then the next town. So I support this letter to be sent.
Well, I guess once again, though, we're talking about New Jersey. I don't know what New Jersey, you know, New Jersey has a whole different governmental structure, possibly. And, you know, I just so you know, when I go to the store, if I don't have to get a plastic bag, I carry things out individually. You know, it's not that I don't think it's not a good thing to do. It's just that I don't know that we're the people that should enforce it. 5 minute
rule here.
Okay. I have a question for Julia.
Yeah.
The agenda reads preempts municipalities from implementing policies to reduce. Is that our language or is that the statutory language?
That is language that was recommended by Penn Environmental, but it is also based on the law that was passed. And it was, and that was done. I mean, it's my understanding that this particular legislative effort was, to ban the ability of municipalities from doing this was being supported by someone whose constituency includes the manufacturer of plastic bags. So, and I agree with Nicole. I appreciate her saying something that there have been a number of efforts in the state that have started with small towns. And because the larger legislature either couldn't do it until they felt that they had there was so much pressure from the smaller municipalities, or that they were looking at, in this case, apparently the members of a legislature are actually looking for these letters so that they can use them as backup support when they want to make this change to the legislation. They're actually quite eager to see yet another municipality signing on, because that shows them that something that they're pushing for, and this will support efforts. I'm sure that Perry Warren and Steve Sanicero are in favor of this, but it helps them to say, okay, all the municipalities in my district are asking me to do this. Or someone in a neighboring district, you know, could say, look, all the municipalities over here and over there, and even some in your district, want you to do this. So you're not out on your own. It's giving them support to do what they already want to do. And I think it's perfectly appropriate for us to send a letter.
Well, I have a problem with the utilization of the words implementing policies. If the language of the statute is the municipalities are prohibited from enacting ordinances to enforce whatever the policy is, that's one thing. But I'm siding more with Bob that if we are allowed to have policies which are not ordinances but are encouragement to the business community to go to paper, especially in a time when you can't use your own bag to go in a grocery store, those are totally two different ways to handle this. And
do you want to suggest different language, Bob? Because this letter is not written in stone. It can be revised.
Well, I want to look at this. I'll check with the Perry's office to see what the real language is.
Well, I put the law on the share file for you. You can see what the law says.
Okay, then I'll take a look at it tomorrow. But
I think we're making this way too complicated. I call the question. This is crazy.
All right.
I think given the discussion, it wouldn't hurt to, well, I guess this is a council meeting, so we can't delay it until the council meeting. It'd have to be in the next work session. I don't think this is going to be anything, that's going to change really quick anyways, obviously because the current law is in force until, the middle of the year anyway, so.
Point of order, Mr. Solicitor, I called the question. Doesn't that cut off discussion?
Well, if we were strictly following Robert's rules, yes.
I don't think
we strictly follow Robert's rules, but I do believe that when a member has made a request to the presiding member to either call the vote or not, that the board president in this instance should either call the vote or say no, I'm going to allow further discussion. So
okay, and I'm being polite and not interrupting people. So yeah, so Sue has observed that this is going on for a bit.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be pretty simple. Bob King had his points, which were, you know, we got the explanation, we're well taken. I think this if we got the write up from Penn Environment, they've got their staff, they've got their law people, they're you know, an organization that knows what they're doing. So I would, you know, as far as the motion, I would say that whatever they put in was okay. My concern about delaying it is that I don't know when it's going to come before the legislature. So Sue, may I ask Julia if she knows the answer to that question, and then, because I don't want to table it if it makes it too late, and then we move to a vote?
Sure.
Okay. Julia?
I don't know what the time frame is. I would suggest not putting it off. You know, I think it's a general enough letter. It's just saying, no, we don't like the idea. Please don't do it. And it's written in very common language. I don't think we need to worry about it preempting some kind of legal item or not. It's just, it's very basic. It just lets them know what we think. And I think that both Steve and Perry can understand the intent of the letter and will do what they can do legally.
Good explanation there. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays?
No.
No.
All right, two nays, motion passes. Okay, and on to the last section of conversation, folks waiting. This is for personnel. We have five applicants. We're moving John from the list.
We have
six applicants for moving John Burke from the list because he's constable. Six applicants for three positions. And before I hand over to you, I just want to say every single one of these applicants are smart, good, kind people who are active members in their community who've contributed to Newtown and the surrounding area. All or many are dear friends that you know, we've known for years. And it's not going to be easy. And these are just for the Civil Service Commission alternates. But I'm glad that these good people have stepped up. And it's a hard decision. I want to let all our applicants know that three of you are not going to get picked, and it doesn't mean that you're not worthwhile and we don't appreciate all your contributions and we don't care about you and like you and love you. You know, it's going to be difficult. So I'm going to ask everyone to, you know, let Nicole present all of the applications and what each applicant has described about his or her background. And then Nicole, you want to also make clear the order of the vote in terms of the order of who gets called when an alternate is needed.
Okay, so you want, I'm gonna read an order of date that that they applied. And I will read, you know, what their application says. I do want to ask Judy a question that I didn't realize until we were sitting here. The remainder of the six-year term and the dates are all different. I don't know.
Okay, yes, because we like to have staggered terms. So
why is it saying remainder of a six-year term if this is a new thing?
I know, because it's, because in each case, it's not a full 6 years from now.
So didn't I just say per the term, like, so a 5-year term, a 4-year term, and a 3-year term?
If that's okay with the solicitor. But yes, technically that I wrote it the way that I did to be consistent in that each time we do appointments like this, I always put out what the full term is.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just staying consistent with that. But if you feel more comfortable, you know, just saying because of the circumstance, it's a 5-year term or 4-year term or 3, and the solicitor says that's quite all right, then fine with
that. No, I actually think the way Judy has done this is the correct way to do it. They are six-year terms. They have to expire on December 31st of a given year. So you can't, if you appoint someone to a 5-year term or a 4-year term, there is no provision in our ordinance for a 5-year term or a 4-year term. There's only provisions for 6-year terms. The way she has laid it out of the expiration dates allows these to be staggered terms. So I think actually the way it's written makes sense.
Okay. That's fine. So, and then my next question, Tara, would be, I'm going to read everyone's applications and then you just want discussion, correct?
Or you want me to make the motions?
Yeah, what I wanted to avoid was somebody like preemptively calling out a vote and like making a motion to adopt or to vote anybody in without us considering all of them initially.
Okay.
If somebody makes a motion, then we have to consider it, and then we're in the position of saying aye or nay without looking at everyone, which I hope everybody did but to do it as part of the meeting.
Okay. So first application was received on June 18th. Elle Kaplan. Elle is a yoga teacher for the last 20 years. She's an activist of anti-racism, equality, justice, fair leadership, and solidarity. She believes in the sense of responsibility and accountability for humanity and the community, and she appreciates our consideration. Next, we have Bob Musto, applied June 22nd. He's a resident of Newtown Boroughs since 1993. Together with his wife, raised a family in the community. He has a very sincere appreciation and understanding of the need to hire individuals with outstanding integrity and character to protect and serve as member of the Newtown Borough Police Department. I would also note that he is a business owner and also a professional recruiter. He also believes that these residents, he also believes that when hiring, we should have officers that connect with residents and business owners in the community. Next, we have Elisa Miles. Elisa Miles is a long-term Newtown Borough resident. She's also an educator and a member of the Newtown Friends meeting. She was a volunteer for the Recreation Board for 10 years, during which time she instituted the educational format for Arbor Day. She oversaw 2 playground builds and helped introduce both music in the park and movies in the park. Prior to that, her work experience includes working for the Greater Manchester Police Force in the United Kingdom. She worked as a police spokesperson and a public information officer for 3 years. And she's currently a full-time teacher and a foster parent. During her time now at Pensbury, she's the Equity and Excellence Committee member. And she's also on the Peace and Justice Committee for Newtown Friends. Next applicant is Philip Mitchell. This was received on July 6th. Philip is a practicing attorney for over 30 years, and he's both serves for professional and nonprofit capacities. He is actively involved in the evaluation, hiring, and termination of organization staff. He is a healthcare regulatory attorney. He's represented hospital clients regarding their medical staff due to process reviews, procedure. He is active management of their internal hearings for medical staff members who are denied membership or had their membership privileges suspended or terminated. He has nonprofit roles with the Methodist Church. And Wheels Inc. Philip would also like to mention that he is an African American and a long life resident of Bucks County, and he feels it's imperative that all of our public institutions particularly law enforcement, are sensitive to the issues of inclusion and diversity. So they reflect and be in a position to fully serve our communities and all of their constituents. Next, we have Bob King,
hey, who
we
all know. I hate to be a pain.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Can you just, out of fairness, because as we just read what people wrote, I think Mr. Mitchell had the through the Arley Methodist Church, and they oversaw the hiring and termination decisions regarding maintenance staff. And then you mentioned Wheels, where he, that last bit there, where he was involved with the oversight. If we could just.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it was a little long, so. So he was involved in the oversight of the human resource function of the organization. And based on that experience, he believes that his substantive knowledge, organizational skills, and demeanor would serve well on the Civil Service Commission. Bob King received 7-7. This position provides an opportunity for Bob to continue to serve into the community while at the same time without the same time commitment that the other positions that he's had, borough council member does require. And he thanks us all for our service. And Patricia Beasley. Okay. Trish.
I'm sorry, Nicole. Bob had his like little blurb on the front, that little bit too.
So due to his being a former borough councilor for 20 years, he is aware of the importance of having qualified candidates for the Newtown Police Department. He also has a good working knowledge of the role of the Civil Service Commission and how it works. And then last is Trish Beasley. Trish has been a borough resident since 1986 and has a keen interest in serving the community and keeping our residents safe and supported by our police department. I do not have experience in law enforcement, but my career as a special education teacher and adjunct professor for the College of New Jersey has given me a skill set that may be helpful to the Civil Service Commission. She believes that her ability to be objective and fair-minded would be an asset in assisting the selection of personnel for the police department.
Thank you.
I have no idea. We're just getting into the appointments now.
Oh, Quirk, you're live.
Thank you.
So so the only thing that I would say is, I'm not going to make any motions at the moment, but I do think it's important for the boards and commissions in Newtown Borough to reflect the diversity of our community. I think this helps bring different perspectives. We are very lucky to have the applicants for these three positions, leaders in the community, and they all care very deeply about our town. So, discussion.
Tara, do you have any guidance on how this is going to occur?
My main goal was just not to have a preemptive motion that cut off any consideration of each of the applicants. I wanted to give everybody their due weight and consideration. I think every applicant here really brings something positive to the table, and would be good. And I think Nicole has a really good point there as well, and thank you for making that clear.
I can read them in order of submission and make the motions.
I would suggest not doing that. Can I just break in here? That the when they were received has nothing to do with their qualifications.
But you would know if a motion fails.
No, yeah. What I would say is before we do that.
I feel bad. Somebody's already going to get a no, and I want to minimize the no's, I guess. And I know it's hard because we haven't all sat in private and talked about it because we're not allowed to. So we're going to have some nays. Sorry, and Julie, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, what I was going to suggest is before we make any motions to pick any particular people, if there are any comments to be made in general and not, oh, everyone's good, and so on and so forth. I think there's certain qualities we want to look for, certain things we want to think about before we entertain a motion. And I wanted actually just to follow up on what Nicole and then you have also said about wanting some diversity. What we have right now on the Civil Service Commission are three men. We have a borough that is 50-50 men and women. We have no member, we have no one reflecting citizens of color currently on the Civil Service Commission. I think this is an opportunity for the borough to show it, to make sure that all elements the makeup of our town are being represented with regard to selecting potential police officers. And the other part of the Civil Service Commission job is to be dealing with issues where there might be a disciplinary action against the police officer. So we can't have to remember that's also one of the roles of the group. So I just put that out there because I think we want to be careful and look at what all of our options are when we select people. And also to look to people who haven't necessarily served before in other capacities. It's another option, another way to bring more people into serving the borough.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting point that you have there, Julia, because generally one says, you've done this, and this, so like, obviously you have all these things that you bring. And we do want somebody who does things to contribute, which I think everybody here has. So in any case, civil service or anywhere else, if we're bringing people in, they might then become involved with other stuff, and you know, you create, you know, future volunteers. Is that where you're going with that? So in terms of things that we're looking for, we've talked about diversity.
I got a question on these are alternate people, right? These are the alternate to the existing three.
Correct.
When do the terms of the existing three expire? And do these people move up to take those seats, or how does this work?
Only if we vote that way.
So I can answer your question, Bob. There are three current members on the Civil Service Commission. Dwayne Buck, whose term expires December 2022. George Penn, whose term expires December 2023. And Bernie Sauer, whose term expires 12/2024. They're staggered as well.
So the soonest anybody would get on is 2 years, unless somebody resigns?
No, Bob.
No.
Bob, just like on the zoning hearing board, Bob, on the zoning hearing board, we have alternate members also. That's if the civil service needs to meet and one of the three or more than one of the three is unable to make that meeting, you call on an alternate to sit in and vote on that meeting. It's extra.
Okay.
It's not to fill in when someone else's term ends. It's six people are serving.
Okay.
So
that's very helpful.
So just to reiterate this point, because I did ask Mike Clark this question, when the term does expire, it will then be a vacancy in which one of the alternates could then put in to be a civil service member, right?
Right. The same way as the zoning hearing board.
Correct.
Right. Mm-hmm. But the alternate doesn't, if you go off of the zoning hearing board, the alternate doesn't automatically take that spot, I guess. I don't know.
And historically, we have generally, said, yes, you know, we see that you're the alternate. People want to step up, but it is a vote. And some alternates like to stay being alternates. So these are the alternates, who will be there if needed.
So, question to Mike Clark, is there any way within the Sunshine Act that instead of putting people up for a yay or nay, that everybody could give their three top choices and somehow tally it up for the three top vote getters?
As long as you're doing it in public, you can do it any way you would like, although ultimately there needs to be a motion and a second. So on each of the three positions. But as long as you're doing it in public, you can try to try to come up with what choices you want to make any way you want to come up with.
Okay, and then Mike, when would it be appropriate for any of the applicants to also speak up, make comment, answer questions? Because I do, they should be part of the process too. I would think they're here, some of them.
Only if you would want them to make comments. There's nothing that's required to have someone who's being appointed to a position be able to make a comment, other than the fact that, you know, it's public comment and they are. They are members of the public.
All right, and they obviously, before we have a motion, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, and obviously they've made their statements in here, so, okay.
And Tara, not everybody is here. I think that would be unfair. If all the applicants were online and part of this, it would be, you know, if they all want to submit their, you know, make their little presentation and so on, that'd be great, but they're not all here. So I don't think that that is necessarily a fair way
to I did send an email to everyone noting that this was happening tonight. I mean, not that that's near, I just wanted to let you know, I did let people know that they were welcome to join our meeting.
But they also weren't told that they had to make a presentation or that they would be questioned or whatever. They could be here if they wanted to. So, no.
Okay, that's a good point.
I think we're all struggling with this because we're in a lucky position of having more applicants than we have places, but none of us want to vote no on someone. That's really what it boils down to, right? We want everyone to be able to be on it, and we can't.
Okay, well.
Listen, I'm happy to make the motions.
And understand that if a motion is made for an individual and they receive a majority of the votes, and then you go to the next person and they receive a majority of council's votes. And then you go to the third person and they receive the majority of council votes. That ends it. So you don't then now need to go to the other three people, because once there are affirmative votes to place people into three of those positions or one of each of the three positions, that's the end of the discussion. Mm-hmm.
I want to make a recommendation on how to conduct the vote. For the first position ending 2006, each council person names a person.
There's nothing ending in 2006.
No.
I'm sorry, 2026, okay?
2025 is the first.
Whatever the first year one, whatever the first seat is, okay? Each of the council people name one person for that slot, and the person with the most vote wins. That way we have no negative votes. We only have positive votes.
All right. That's a good idea. I want to go back and Julie had an idea also, and I want to see if we can put them together. I want to make sure, Julie, you get to share. You had an idea about how to conduct the process.
I'm sorry, who was that directed to?
Julia.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It's not a nomination like we do when we're electing president and vice president. It's not a nomination. It is a motion that gets made for each one. I'd be happy to make the first motion and we can vote them up and down, and that's how we'll figure out who's going to be on. And I mean, that's how it's done. And I mean, we're all grown-ups. We all presumably can take whatever comes and we vote fairly, but these are motions for appointments. And Mike Clark, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's made that they're simple motion. So would you like me to start off with one?
Okay. Well, do we want to do the simple motions or do we want to do what Bob suggested?
It's going to be so complicated. It's so hard on Zoom to know if people even did yay or nay. How are we going to do this?
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then what if you get
three? All you have to say is a name. If right. I say John Smith is my candidate, he gets one vote.
Yeah. So there are six people. There are six people on council. You're going to end up with six people.
Then we have the mayor.
No.
No.
The mayor breaks a tie. No, I'm sorry. The mayor breaks a tie. Let's just, I don't know what's so difficult here.
Well, I'll just say I'm happy. However, this, you know, whoever wants to make the motion, I do think if you, I don't know, care at all about policy, it should be the person that runs personnel. And I'll tell you right now, I am so happy to not be in charge of personnel anymore. So if anyone would like to step up and take it over, that sounds great. So you got, I'll leave it up to you guys. But I don't know that it's, I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
Here's my proposal. So is to not have somebody who has to say a name before somebody else. I mean, this could be out of the box, but everybody write their top three choices down on a sheet of paper that they will not change, and then we'll each show them up to the calendar, to the camera.
That is bizarre.
Yeah, well, I said out of the box.
Ridiculous. Okay, I make a motion to appoint Philip Mitchell, okay, to the position on the civil service as a civil service commission alternate for the remainder of a 6-year term through December 31st, 2025.
Well, since that name is up there, I will second it.
Julia, the first one is 2026.
Actually, no, we worked on that because their term's going to go through the end of this year, which is 20,
okay,
and through the next year. Yes, it's 2025.
Okay.
Yeah. Judy and I did the higher level.
Mike, okay. I made the same mistake you did, actually.
All right.
Yes.
So there's a motion on the floor.
I second.
There's a second.
And this is, okay, for filming.
Right. We have a motion, we have a second. Any discussion? All right. I do think that Mr. Mitchell's background as an attorney involved with due process, with hiring, with termination, with human resources functions, and all of that brings a lot to the table. In terms of hiring and any, hopefully never to happen, disciplinary issues. Any other comment? Public comment?
We got some public comments. I think I'm glad Julia finally took the bull by the horns here. I'm not really sure why we're reluctant to picking people. If we think they're qualified, vote for them. And I think that this choice is a good choice. And I agree with, we need diversity on the, you know, in the borough and on this commission. So thank you, Julia, for stepping up and moving this forward.
All right, thanks, John. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes.
Okay, do you want me to do this?
Okay, so I would like to make, no, I got it. I would like to make a motion to approve the appointment of Bob King to the position of Civil Service Commission alternate for the remainder of a 6-year term through December 31st, 2024.
We have a second. Hey, Mike Clark.
Yes.
As president, I don't second, do I? I always seek somebody else to second.
You do, but if no one else seconds and you wish to second a motion, you can. But it is often you defer to the other members, and the borough, the presiding officer shouldn't make a motion or shouldn't second it, but doesn't mean you cannot.
I see. But I suppose the presiding officer could look at it as if nobody else seconds it, we're unlikely to get the vote.
That is correct.
I see.
That is a way you can look at it, certainly.
Oh, okay. All right. I do think that Bob offers a lot from his prior years on serving on council and his familiarity with working with the police department and the Civil Service Commission. But and I was going to see if I could second, but it's true. If there is no second, the vote's not there. So do you have a second?
Can I just say that I think a lot of Bob, and I think he'd be great at this, but I do think that diversity is something that we really need to try and focus on right now. So thank you, Bob.
Good point. Okay.
I move to approve the appointment of Patricia Beasley to the position.
And Marva, I hate to interrupt, but I just so we're clear. So the motion fails for lack of a second. So now would be just so the minutes properly reflect that. So
I move to appoint approve the appointment of Patricia Beasley to the position of Solar Service Commission alternate for the remainder of a 6-year term through December 31st, 2024.
Second.
I defer to Susan.
All right, Susan, did you second?
I did.
Good second, yes. Okay. Is there any comment? Anyone have anything to say about why Susan?
No, Trish.
Why Trish versus Elisa or L? Okay, or Bob?
I believe Trish is a very thoughtful person. I think she would bring some excellent personal and professional skills to the Civil Service Commission.
Okay. Any public comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Any nays?
Nay.
Okay, motion passes.
So I'll make a motion to approve the appointment of L. Kaplan to the position of Civil Service Alternative for the remainder of the 6-year term through December 31st, 2023.
Sure, why not?
I'll second that.
Okay, any discussion?
So the only thing I would discuss is there's an anti-discrimination group. It's, it's formed a bit of a Facebook page, and also it has a discussion, a Zoom meeting. So some of the council members here, including Corky and Tara, were on the call. And one thing that was, spoken about was just in general getting different views, especially, and also having people that can be not so one way or the other. And I think that L. Kaplan is the kind of person that she is able to kind of talk things out. And I don't know if it's just a personal experience I have with her, but I do think that she'd bring a lot to the table for civil service.
In terms of talking things out and listening, like that, and being able to hear people from a variety of perspectives, or is that what you're saying?
Yes, correct. Like, I think that I in general, she's able to listen and kind of like really not like keep calm, I guess, like not blow up one way or the other.
Nicole, what's her background? What's her professional background?
She's a yoga instructor.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And Bob, you also recall she's the one who started the Good Samaritan Award.
Oh, okay, great. Oh, okay, I know who this person is. Thank you.
And, I want to recognize that like Elisa Miles actually has a background as a police spokesperson, public information officer, and, she's somebody who's also, been a lot of the community work, and she has a foster son of color, so she's been working, in terms of somebody who has, like, a different type of diversity to in her personal life. To bring. And then, of course, Bob, who's also
Tara.
So we're making suit. I know I'm done.
we should be speaking to the motion too.
But the motion is a rejection of the other. So we've had a very a positive glowing review of Elle, and I agree with you, her personality really brings a lot there. So, is there any other comment? Any public comment?
Public comment.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I couldn't disagree with Nicole more than, I think this is a very bad choice. I've seen Elle post pictures of people's lawn signs on their yard that she disagrees with on Facebook and comments about it. She's not open-minded. She's open-minded when you speak the way she speaks. If she's going to have to sit in front and discipline police officers, she's defund the police mentality. And you're going to put someone in that mindset that's already negative, and that person's not going to have a fair and honest review. So I agree with all the other people you selected. I agree with Alyssa, I think, or Alicia, or Miles, perfect. But I disagree. I think you're making a poor choice here, and I think the community is divided, probably 50-50 on this choice. So take that as it
so
is.
So the only comment I would have to that is I did reach out to Chief and had him kind of make an order too. So I'm not just going off of.
That's fine. I'm giving you my opinion. That's all. If the Chief blesses it, then go for it.
But. Oh no, I'm not saying it. I had no idea how all this was going to work out tonight. So yeah, no, I'm not saying that he wouldn't bless anyone else. It was just more, I guess he has a different opinion on Elle.
Well, he probably hasn't followed her Facebook page, but. It's my personal opinion.
How does he know Elle? Like, other than she came for you're the Good Samaritan.
Yeah, that's probably what it's about. I don't know. He's not on tonight, but yeah, I think it probably does have to do with her volunteer work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. All right. John, I hear what John's saying. Yeah. So, any other comment?
Listen, I don't know how to do this, but if everyone agrees that a different, I guess you just vote, right? I don't know.
Like he said, yes, all these people are good, or like looking in a order of this, like without saying Chief likes or doesn't like what did he say in general when you talk to him?
Just that she was a, I don't know his relationship, but he thought that she, exactly what I said, that she was a middle of the road. I don't know. I guess I know her in a different capacity but that she would make, decisions that wouldn't be biased, but I guess, I don't know.
So you talked to her about each candidate to him, is that?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Well, we have a motion. With a second, we have discussion. Last call for any discussion. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any nays?
No.
Nay.
Nay.
So that's a tie, correct? Did
correct.
I hear 3-3?
Yes.
I did.
Yeah.
So does this mean we move on to another one, or do we have to go to the mayor to break the tie?
Since we have another candidate, two more candidates. Let's go to the other candidates and see if we can get them.
We need to follow it structurally.
And I would agree. And our process is that when it's a 3-3 vote, that the mayor breaks the tie.
So okay. I'm sorry. May I interrupt for just a minute? I think I have Tara, Nicole, and Marv as the eyes.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
So I am now to break the tie, correct?
Correct, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. I vote no.
Okay. So that motion fails.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to make a motion to approve the appointment of Alyssa Miles to the position of Civil Service Commission alternate for the remainder of a 6-year term through December 31st, 2023.
I'll second.
All right, it's just, I have to clarify, it's Alyssa, but she wouldn't necessarily know by reading it because there are plenty of people named Alyssa, but in this case, it's Alyssa.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Any comments on Alyssa's qualities? She's done a lot for Newtown Borough and as a teacher, and I thought her police spokesperson background was interesting as well, even though that was years ago, and she's been an active member of the community for years. So do we have any comments from the public? I think, John, you said earlier when you were suggesting your concerns about the prior candidate, you mentioned some positive thoughts about Alyssa, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think she has great background, good experience, so good pick.
All right. Any other comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any nays? Motion passed.
Okay. Thank you, John. This was very helpful.
Sure. Judy?
Yes.
Please tell Bob thank you for putting him.
Oh, he's on.
Hey, Bob.
He's muted.
Oh, thanks, Bob. All right. Thank you, everybody, that took a little bit of time, and just giving it that consideration. For everyone, and I think that was important. Thank you, everyone, for putting in your applications, and we, the community, thank you, and thank you for all you do. So, and thank you, Nicole, because I know that was a more difficult one.
So just to go over the open committee positions,
we still have Shade Tree Commission.
Oh, sorry. This one, we only have one applicant. Can you guys hear me? Because my ear things just died. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
You're okay.
So we have one applicant, Ted Schmidt, who he spent 8 to 10 years on the Shade Tree, knows it well. He's also been with 4 different liaisons in the committee. He oversaw the replacement and planting of 18 new trees on State Street. Lots of different reviews, land development applications. And he's seeing that we have a vacancy and is willing to serve. So I will make a motion to approve the appointment of Ted Schmidt to the position of Shade Tree Commission for the remainder of a 3-year term through December 31st. Is that going to be 2022?
Yes.
Because it's December. Okay. The remainder. So it ends up being a little less than 3 years.
I'll second.
Whoops.
Any further comment? Discussion? Ted, you on?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Especially because John stepped down and we're looking at updating the ordinance, as you know, and we need to take a look at the overall Shade Tree ordinance and structure in general to make it successful. So thank you for contributing your time and expertise.
Thank you.
That is if everybody votes aye. So, public comment?
Yeah, I will say this. I worked with Ted on Shade Tree, and thank you for coming back, Ted, because he would literally walk around the neighborhood and the borough and look at trees, and he's an asset for that Shade Tree Committee. So thank you for coming back.
Thank you, John.
Very much. So, John, were you the first liaison of Ted's 4 then?
Yes. What's that?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Okay. So very cool. All right. Well, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any nays? Motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Going to be first.
You got what you asked you, for, Ted. Ted.
So just to go over the open committee positions, we have two for the Environmental Advisory Council. We have one for the Recreation Board plus a secretary, and then also members for ad hoc traffic and parking committees. And that's it.
Okay. Thank you so
who's
much.
Who's the liaison for traffic and parking?
You are.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Fine. I know what I have to do now. Thank you very much.
We talked about that in January, February.
Okay.
But so far, all the parking things have been like along with streets. So I think that's part of why you're having that like overlap.
Okay, that's helpful. So we'll get on that now, you know, after this meeting. So thank you very much.
Yeah, I thought that's why you were doing the online webinar with the crosswalks and all that stuff.
Just one of the many things. Okay, yeah. One of the many things.
Okay, very good, very good. Okay, as I mentioned at the beginning, under the amendments, we're moving all our zoning to discussion and eco discussion to the work session. And that is, other than paying the bills, it is going to be all EPO barring emergencies. So any old business?
Just because the zoning hearing board has been moved to another location, I think we should put that on the record, that it'll be at the Newtown Theater and not at the Borough Hall on Thursday. Correct, Susan?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just so we put that in the minutes. Thank you. 7 o'clock.
Item of old business. The door has been installed in Borough Hall.
Right.
Yeah, so I guess at some point we'll need to have a discussion about if we're having open hours or open hours yet. Not for discussion for this meeting, but something that I guess now that we have the door, considering.
Or at least a ribbon cutting ceremony.
Okay. Just
well, the 6-foot scissors are going to be really tough.
So yes, and I have been looking either on the websites or calling our area municipalities just to get a sense of you know what's happening. You know, we've got one that's closed, everybody else is open, but to varying degrees. Some are doing limited hours. Some like are open, but they have a bunch of like, you know, taking temperatures and whatnot. So yes, we will need to convene and then determine, you know, that sort of process and how everything works while keeping our employees safe and so on. So
after we put Judy and Pat in that room, we have to make sure there's a budget item to pay the ransom to get them out.
Right. Well, the second part of that, of course, is now it's a push button lock now. And only Judy and I know the combination right now. So your key doesn't work anymore. Your key doesn't work anymore to get into the administrative office. You can still get into the main building, but you can't get in there. So I guess Judy will have to figure out the new fancy combination and let us know. So we will be able to get in there to save her when she needs to be.
Oh, good.
We will save you, Judy. We will save you.
Any other new business? All right, public to be heard. Who do we still have with us? We got John. We got Chris Rusty. Oh, we miss you, Chris. And John, I never got to serve with you because I came on just after you, but I did get to see you get your plaque. And I know we had Bob here earlier. Yes, Bob. So, all right. Any other public? Any public comment? All right. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Time is 10:20.
10:20 exactly. Yes. So, and we had a four-page. with some very difficult, you know, issues on it, which took some time. So well done, everyone.
Thank you all very much.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Good night.
Thanks, everyone.
Goodbye.
Thank you.